the natural world, and you start to realize that the only things that make it in nature are the ones that are honed to pay attention and not to get into habits that get us into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas humans in the modern world, nothing really does that anymore. You know, we just get into habits to the point where we don't even notice that they're in any way potentially dangerous to us. And they express that. It expresses in a lot.
The program you have just enjoyed is a previously recorded broadcast.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Sam Litzinger.
Well, tomorrow's a big day. it's a big day.
Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama are facing off in contests tomorrow in Wisconsin and Hawaii.
Everywhere I go, people are standing up and saying they want to take America in a new direction.
CBSNews.com senior political editor Vaughn Ververs.
If Hillary Clinton were to be able to win this, it would stop some of the momentum that Obama has built up over the last eight contests.
Former President George H.W. Bush says John McCain has a sound conservative record and that any criticism to the contrary is grossly unfair. The elder Bush has announced his endorsement of McCain. Alabama Governor Bob Riley has taken a tour of the Prattville neighborhood that was slammed by a tornado yesterday.
We have thousands of people that have moved into Prattville today to help clean the streets, remove the trees, get people some semblance of normalcy back into their life. So this community is going to be fine.
At least 29 people were hurt. Hundreds of homes and businesses damaged or destroyed. Forecasters calculate winds were blowing up to 150 miles an hour. Pro baseball pitcher Andy Pettitte is apologizing for the embarrassment he's caused his teammates and fans by using human growth hormone. He says he hasn't spoken to his friend Roger Clemens since implicating him in the use of the substance in a sworn statement.
I love the guy. I love the guy like a brother. So I hope that relationship will still be there.
Pettitte tells the Yes Network and ESPN the situation has put a strain on their friendship. Amtrak is tightening its security. CBS News correspondent John Harchie has a preview.
Don't be surprised if you see canine dogs and armed agents in tactical gear on your next train ride.
We will be deploying mobile security teams in a pop-up mode.
Amtrak CEO Alex Kumon says this new security shouldn't really slow you down.
We will ask passengers on a random basis to step out and allow their luggage to be screened.
According to the railroad, these new anti-terror procedures should be minimally invasive. John Harchie, CBS News, Washington.
The U.S. and major European powers are recognizing Kosovo's independence, but other countries are protesting the proclamation. Serbia has withdrawn its ambassador to America because of Washington's support of Kosovo. Spain is leading a group of five EU nations opposing Kosovo's independence. The U.S. military says troops have captured a powerful rogue Shiite militia leader in Baghdad. He is accused of supplying Iranian weapons to fighters. He's also said to have links to other leaders who are behind attacks on security forces. President Pervez Musharraf's party in Pakistan says it respects the decision citizens are making in today's parliamentary votes. Even as the ballots are being counted, the party chairman concedes that opposition parties are doing well. Early tallies also show the two top leaders in the ruling party have lost their seats. This is CBS News.
In the end, all any of us have is our good name. So at Mercedes-Benz, we don't put our name on just anything. Every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz comes with a 155-point inspection, roadside assistance, a one-year warranty up to 100,000 miles, and the one thing no other pre-owned vehicle can offer, our good name. Mercedes-Benz. Stop by your local authorized dealer and ask about our certified pre-owned program.
See dealer for complete details on warranty and roadside assistance. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your oil change sticker.
I've been in the sun too long. I think I'm peeling.
No kidding. How come?
Hello? Maybe you're overdue for an oil change at the dealer.
Oh, right. How about that?
Well, you know what? I should have written out the date or mileage to remind you. Oh, wait. I did.
All right. Time to go to the dealer.
Good idea. And don't worry about me. I'll be fine on your windshield for the next 5,000 miles.
See? Everybody wins.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service. Come in. Keep going.
President Bush in Africa. CBS News correspondent Mark Knoller is traveling with him.
In Tanzania's northern city of Arusha, Maasai warriors and dancers performed for President Bush. He came to visit a hospital that treats 1,300 malaria cases a month.
The suffering caused by malaria is needless, and every death caused by malaria is unacceptable.
To that end, he announced a new program of American assistance to buy over 5 million insecticide-treated bed nets for Tanzania's children to protect them from the mosquitoes that spread malaria. Mark Knoller, CBS News, Dar es Salaam.
Some Target security guards are going to be faster on the job. That's because the chain has added about 150 Segways in its stores over the past few months. They're being used by security workers to patrol parking lots. Target's apparently the first big retailer to use the scooter-like machines for security. Sam Litzinger, CBS News.
At Mercedes-Benz, our affordable certified pre-owned vehicles come with the rich legacy of engineering that is Mercedes-Benz. And a 155-point inspection, roadside assistance, and a one-year warranty up to 100,000 miles. Every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz retains its integrity because, as a company, we have ours. Stop by your local authorized dealer and ask about the certified pre-owned program by Mercedes-Benz.
See dealer for complete details and warranty and roadside assistance. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles.
Hi, Mom.
What's all this?
I got you a cell phone, the Coupe from Verizon Wireless. Check it out. It's got a big keypad, easy-to-read screen, plus dedicated buttons for emergency contacts. It's everything you need.
Great. But what's with the 4 zillion people?
Oh, that's the network. They come with it.
Hi.
Good to meet you.
Hey, how you doing?
Good afternoon.
Welcome.
Hola.
Say hello to the Coupe, backed by the Good Housekeeping Seal. Exclusively from America's most reliable wireless network, Verizon Wireless. Call 1-800-2-JOIN-IN today.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
It's President's Day. Most of us have the day off. In fact, Katrina Rill and Brian Urban have the day off. Your humble host is here to bring you the best of Peter B. Collins. Just 2 hours ago, I was hiking just north of Napa. Oh, it was a lot of fun. Hope you're enjoying yourself today. We've got Matt Rothschild from The Progressive and Kara Horowitz this hour. Michael Scheuer, former CIA officer, next hour. And Trevor Paglen, who tells the story of black ops in the military through the patches that they wear. It's all ahead today here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Big story has broken when I log on to my email in the morning and multiple sources are sending me the same story. It happened today, and the author of that story joins us to tell you about this important exclusive report about how Americans are being monitored by other Americans. Ah, but don't you feel safer already, huh? Matthew Rothschild is editor of the Progressive magazine, on the web at progressive.org. His most recent book is called You Have No Rights: Stories of America in an Age of Repression. Matt, welcome back to the show.
Peter B., thanks for having me back.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I think this is important information that our listeners need to know about. And tell me, first of all, did this surface from the website where you have people submit stories of repression in America today?
No, actually, it came from a guy I know, a friend of mine in the media, who knew I was covering these kinds of stories about civil liberties infringements.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I had just posted something on our website about that national security directive that Bush had issued last May.
Yeah, number 51?
Yeah, number 51, in times of emergency. And that one, Bush assigns to himself the sole power to protect our Constitution, which is laughable given what he's done to our Constitution so far.
Yeah.
So I was talking to this guy, actually a radio guy on the air, and as soon as we got off, he said, you you won't believe this, but I talked to a guy who says there's this group of business people working with the FBI, and these business people have the right to shoot to kill. And, you know, I'm a pretty skeptical, cynical journalist of 28 years here. And so it registered with me, but I said, come on, that can't be true. And so I just kind of shelved it for a few months. But then I started to research this organization called InfraGuard. True enough, there was such an organization. I met with this whistleblower. He showed me his InfraGuard card that was just as it is described by some of the heads of the organization of InfraGuard. He told me where this meeting occurred, where he had been given shoot-to-kill permission. That meeting actually did pan out where he said it was, and with the FBI and Homeland Security. And so, you know, the more I looked into it, the more it seemed to be true. And then I got a couple other people corroborating his accounts. And so I put this thing all together. Before I'd heard about this, I didn't even know that there was such an organization called InfraGuard, which is an FBI baby that has secret meetings with business people from every sector of the economy. To join InfraGuard, you've got to be first vetted by the FBI, and then, you know, there are little chapters all around the country.
And
six of them.
Do they bring in Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones to neuralize everybody at the end of a session?
Evidently. I mean, it's hard to crack these guys, and they get encrypted messages to the FBI and from the FBI about security threats, actually before the public ever gets to know about it, and in one case out there in California, before Gray Davis was told by the FBI that there was a threat to bridges out in November 2001, he heard it from his brother, who was an InfraGuard member working at Morgan Stanley.
Wow. I mean, this is really, it has the footprints and the outlines of the kind of Gestapo tactics that I worried about when they named our domestic security operation Homeland Security. You and I have talked about this before. It just gives me chills every time I hear that word. And this is part and parcel of that mentality.
Yeah, this is real collusion between the private sector and the government, which is one of the hallmarks of traditional fascism. And I don't usually use the word, the F word, on radio. But this is a very scary kind of alliance. There is a predecessor to it, kind of a historical echo. There was such a thing called the American Protective League back in 1917, 18, and 19, where 250,000 business people were out essentially spying for the Bureau of Investigation, especially against the Wobblies, the radical union group. They would burglarize and vandalize and harass these radical elements, and they finally disbanded. But that was an alliance between business people and the precursor to the FBI. And here we have this thing. It actually is hidden in plain view. You can go to www.infraguard.net, and that's the main site, and find out all about it.
Infraguard.net. I'm going to have to check that out. Matt Rothschild is with us from The Progressive, and this story is available at The Progressive's website, progressive.org. It's also up at truthout.org, and I've just seen it flying all over the web today, and I'm glad that people sense how significant this story is. Now, Matt, just one little tidbit going back a minute or two. You mentioned a radio guy who tipped you off, and unless he asked for anonymity, let's give him credit here. Who was it?
Oh, it was Lee Rayburn.
Oh, okay.
Lee Rayburn, who does some Air America pitch hitting when some of the hosts are off. He's got a local Madison talk show.
Yeah, he does the morning show in Madison, right?
Yeah, and he's a great guy, and he's a great radio guy. And so he was the one who put me onto the story.
Well, kudos to him. I'm really glad to hear that. Now, give our listeners a sense of 23,000 people, all part of, you know, corporate America, private industry. How are they selected by the FBI to participate in the InfraGuard program, Matt?
Well, that's a good question. And the group has just been mushrooming, and there were 1,700 members back in 2001, and now they're 23,000. It's like a little, secret men's club or Elks club or something. You've got to be invited by a current InfraGuard member. Then you need to be vetted by the FBI. You can see the application form you need to fill out at www.infraguard.net if you want to join. And they ask you what part of the infrastructure your company is involved with, whether it's banking or computers or chemical industry or energy or whatnot. And then they ask you, actually ask you whether you've ever been ever committed a crime or not. And if so, you know, please discuss what that crime was and what that situation was all about. And so basically someone's got to vouch for you. Then the FBI, you know, comes and interviews you or secretly interviews your friends and business associates to see whether, you know, you get that InfraGuard card.
This is amazing. I just pulled up the website, InfraGuard. You got to put the W's in front for some reason. www.infraguard.net. And, oh gosh, learn more about InfraGuard, an information sharing and analysis effort serving the interests and combining the knowledge base of a wide range of members. InfraGuard is a partnership between the FBI and the private sector, an association of businesses, academic institutions, state and local law enforcement agencies, and other participants dedicated to sharing information and intelligence to prevent hostile acts against the United States. Now, this really is chilling, and I'm not afraid of the F word, Matt Rothschild. I'm only offended when it's used improperly to describe alleged Islamo-fascism, which is a totally bizarre use of the term. But fascism is the collusion of business and government, and this one is a very clear example of that. And, you know, it appears that this has developed without any oversight from Congress, without any attempt to establish safeguards for our civil liberties. I mean, this really seems to be a rogue program.
It sure does. And, you know, they say, as one of the advertisements to their business members, that their involvement in InfraGuard is hidden even from the Freedom of Information Act. The Freedom of Information Act can't be used by the public or by the media to figure out what's going on with this group. And this is very frightening to me, just as it is also frightening to me that, you know, there are meetings around the country of FBI and Homeland Security agents to small groups, sometimes, you know, 30 business people in a room at a fire department somewhere or some other organization, where they are telling people in the business community what is to be expected of them in times of an emergency. And everyone that I've talked to agrees that there have been emergency preparedness exercises involving InfraGuard members. And then the question is, you know, how... at what length do these members, to what length do these members get to go? And my sources say they get to go real far, including using lethal force against people they suspect in times of an emergency to be tampering with their side of the infrastructure.
Well, and this is lethal force with immunity, as it's at least as it is described in the commentary from some of the sources that you cite in your article. We need to take a break and we'll return in just a moment. If you have a question or a comment for Matt Rothschild, give us a call right now. Your call is subject to monitoring by the National Security Agency, looking for keywords like Osama, terror, explosives. You know, so be careful. That's what John Ashcroft would tell you. More in a moment. 888-5-PETER-B is my number. 888-573-8372. You can email me. That's subject to interception, too. peter@peterbcollins.com. It's a special President's Day replay of recent events on the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for tuning in today. We'll be back at you live tomorrow right here.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Hi there, KRXA listeners. This is Hal on behalf of the Central Avenue Bakery. Tina and her staff want to thank all of you for becoming regulars at the Central Avenue Bakery at 173 Central Avenue in beautiful Pacific Grove. February is a special month at the Central Avenue Bakery as they celebrate Valentine's Day with an Italian buffet and a free glass of wine with every dinner. Space is limited, so make your reservations for Valentine's Day now. Then, at the end of February, Central Avenue Bakery celebrates its third anniversary with live music, free food, and prizes. Enjoy organic foods, pastries, and coffee. They also have a gluten-free menu and many organic gluten-free pastries. Stop by one of my favorite restaurants, the Central Avenue Bakery in Pacific Grove, today.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Carmo Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid Carmo Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Carmo Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid Carmo Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmo Shell at Rio Road and Mid Carmo Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Jim Moore Income Tax in Watsonville has been helping Monterey Bay Area residents with personal income tax preparation for more than 20 years. And this year, Manager Juan Gonzalez is prepared to assist all taxpayers take advantage of tax credits and rebates especially targeted for the eco-minded. The staff of Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in fast professional income tax preparation at a very reasonable price. Do you have a naughty tax problem? Let Juan Gonzalez and his staff provide the expert assistance you need. Jim Moore Income Tax is located at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. This year, let Juan Gonzalez show you where the green is for green living taxpayers. Visit Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville. Be sure to take copies of your 2006 tax return and all of your 2007 W-2s and 1099s. Remember Jim Moore Income Tax for all of your tax preparation needs.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. A shout out to our weekend listeners on KPOJ 620 in Portland, Oregon. And our newest listeners on KMPT 930 in Missoula, Montana. Hello. We continue with Matthew Rothschild from The Progressive Magazine. As I mentioned, his latest book is a great read, You Have No Rights, Stories of America in an Age of Repression. And Matt, we have some amazing listeners to this program, some call and some email. And this one is from Sean in Monterey. He posted it on the KRXA website about an hour ago. And he said, can you please talk about what you think can be done in the event Bush somehow declares martial law? Maybe the election goes Democratic, voting issues arise, there's a protest, he calls martial law. What would happen then? What does Peter think would happen to counter it or deal with it? Could Obama or Clinton do much if this were to be a reality? And what contingency plan should they have? What contingency plan should we have? Well, I'm going to defer to Matt. I think he has a little more knowledge on this. What would you tell our listener, Sean?
Well, Sean is raising a question that's been concerning me here for a couple years now, the possibility that the Bush administration would declare martial law. After all, Condoleezza Rice's deputy at the National Security Council, after 2001, a guy by the name of General Wayne Downing said, if we're attacked again, we're going to have to declare martial law. So this isn't just a stray concern. And
What needs to happen is we got to be active before Bush declares martial law. We've got to get our congresspeople to hold hearings on the possibility that Bush may declare martial law. And if it would come to that, or even before it comes to that, we need to really protest and demand that we still have a democracy in this country, because Bush has been taking it away. So, we need to have rallies to support our rights here before, you know, Bush pulls a stunt like that.
And what do you see as the worst case? Because people weave together the president's executive order 51, the reports that originated in the Progressive, that I think it was KBR got a special contract to build detention camps in the United States, and we still don't know much about those, what the status of them is, or even where they're located. And there also has been an outreach to the religious right. And certain ministers have been attending conferences where they have been trained in what to do if martial law is declared.
Yeah, I mean, you can connect those dots, and it's a real scary picture emerges. I think what would happen is that if the United States were attacked again by terrorists, Bush would seize on that and cancel the elections and stay in power. Remember, 4 years ago, a lot of people forget this, 4 years ago, the Bush administration floated the idea of postponing the elections. The head of Homeland Security said he would, if there was an attack a week before the elections, he might have to call off the elections. Now, that was a trial balloon that went up and quickly went down, but, you know, you got to think these people in the Bush administration are planning for such a thing.
Sandra in Sacramento is listening on KSAC. Welcome, Sandra.
Hi, Matt. The question I have is: you talk about this these people who have the ability to shoot to kill, based on whose authority? And if that's the case, as a citizen, you know, I have access to instruments to shoot back. I'm just, you know what I mean. I just think that what are they talking about? They're gonna be able to say, yell halt and shoot you? I mean, it just sounds...
Well, think Blackwater in Iraq.
Yes, I understand, but I just, you know, the whole thing just is beyond scary. I believe you, but why isn't this sort of widely known?
All right, Matt.
Well, Sandra, it is beyond scary, and I'm hoping that members of Congress will start holding hearings on this. I've sent a copy of this story to my Senator Russ Feingold, who's on both the Intelligence Committee and the Judiciary Committee in the Senate. I do think we've got to investigate this. We've got to blow the cover off of this thing, and that's what I tried to do with my story here. What would happen is, if a situation, emergency situation is declared, or a martial law type situation is declared, these 23,000 InfraGuard members are essentially deputized by the FBI and by Homeland Security to use lethal force if they see someone, you know, coming up to their electric utility or up to their pipeline, and that they don't know the person, and they can just, you know.
So this is more sort of corporate sort of expansion of control? Or, I mean, just...
It's a kind of collusion. I don't know the novel. Do you, Matt?
No, unfortunately, I don't know the novel.
Cynthia.
It may be similar to, you know, a Bruce Willis movie, but that's the only analogy I can think of.
Matthew, you've done it again. Thanks for breaking this story.
Peter B., thanks for having me on.
Appreciate you joining us, and we'll do what we can to get this out and get some reaction, get this thing rolled back. Good to talk with you, Matt.
Yeah, likewise.
Coming up next, we're going to talk about the whales versus the Navy. The whales are winning. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Next here on President's Day, Kara Horowitz of the National Resource Defense Council checks in to talk about the battle between the U.S. Navy and whales along the Pacific coast and elsewhere. And the whales are winning this round. That's straight ahead on the Peter B. Collins Show.
progressive talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood. When she was about 30, Susie Orman was a waitress making $400 a month, and then a customer gave her some seed money to invest to open her own restaurant. But she got taken by a stockbroker and lost it all, so she became a broker herself, started writing books about money. Those have been bestsellers. Now in her late 50s, she also writes for Oprah's magazine, is top seller on QVC, and has her own show on CNBC.
You clearly are now a brand.
Yes.
Do you think of yourself that way?
I have to tell you I do.
The Money Lady was visited on our CBS TV show Sunday morning yesterday by Ben Tracy.
Is that what you call yourself, the Money Lady?
I do. I call myself the Money Lady.
Some financial advice from the Money Lady after this.
This is a rate alert for February 2008. Today brings good news to anyone who needs a mortgage larger than $417,000. In recent months, these jumbo mortgages have been nearly impossible to get. And if you were lucky enough to get one, you usually paid a high interest rate. Now, national mortgage leader Quicken Loans has announced an all-new jumbo mortgage program on loans up to $2 million with affordable rates that could save you thousands a year. Plus, you could finance up to 90% of your home's value with an affordable fixed-rate loan. Call 800-970-4011. With Quicken Loans' new jumbo loan program, you get an affordable fixed-rate mortgage up to $2 million and up to 90% financing with no teaser rates, no prepayment penalties, and no surprises. Don't wait. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-970-4011. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. Call 800-970-4011.
Last week, when a free download of Susie Orman's latest book, Women and Money, was announced on the Oprah Winfrey Show.
You know how many women stay in a relationship that they don't want to be in? And why is it that they don't leave? Because they don't have the money to leave.
More than a million women took advantage of it. They know that she knows.
What's the biggest financial mistake we make?
We spend money we don't have to impress people we don't even know or like. We have no money in savings. We have very little in our 401k plans. We don't have a penny to our name yet. Oh, we all look so pretty. We look so pretty.
And Tracy asks you, woman.
You talk about living below your means. What is your greatest indulgence?
Private airplanes.
Forgive the directness of the question, but how much money do you have?
Lots. You know, it's been estimated high into the eight figures.
You know, on your show, a lot of the folks who are calling in, these seem to be people who are swimming in debt. Do you feel like you can identify with them?
Yes, and I can identify with them because I was them.
Now she talks not only about getting your ducks in a row, but getting your own priorities in order and what she thinks those ought to be.
People first, then money, then things.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
I'm going to talk about the battle between the Navy and defenders of the whales. And in the update, the whales are winning. Federal courts have told the Bush administration you cannot conduct Navy sonar operations without consideration for the whales. And for our updated discussion, I'm actually prepared. I dug out my favorite song about whales from Country Joe McDonald. We're going to play a good portion of it for you here before we get started with the conversation.
When my grandpa was a boy, he went down to the general store, saw a picture book of a whale shooting its spout and flashing its tail. Then he got a sailor's dream about cruising around on a salty sea, joining up with a fishing crew to go out and get a whale or two. Tell me what kind of men are these that sail upon the salty sea, up in the rigging in the afternoon, swabbing the deck and sharpening harpoons. Ooh, rain up she rises, ooh, rain up she rises, ooh, rain up she rises, early in the morning. For the industry, we drag them alongside and cut them in two, and melt them down and sell it to you. There hardly is a sailor alive who can keep the tears from his eyes as he remembers the good old days when there were no whales to save. Now we can thank the companies for scouring the deep blue seas, looking for ivory and perfume and oil to light your living rooms. Ooh, rain up she rises.
Two interesting stories about whales in the news. A few weeks back, we hooked up with the ship's captain of a protest crew that was dogging Japanese whaling ships in Antarctica. And in today's newspapers, there's an update. The Australian Customs, or the equivalent of their Coast Guard, has been out there monitoring the activities of the Japanese whaling ships. And there's a grisly photograph of a large whale and what appears to be a calf. They say it's just a smaller whale, dead, bleeding, and being dragged up a gangway onto this ship that will then process it and ship it to Japan, where whale meat is still considered a delicacy and quite popular.
Modern ship and a modern crew with sonar scopes and exploding harpoons and mechanical boats made out of steel, a floating machine built to kill the whales.
And the other story has to do with the U.S. Navy's desire to continue to use low-frequency sonar in areas where whales and other marine mammals are known to congregate or migrate. And joining us from the National Resources Defense Council once again is Kara Horowitz. Kara, thanks for talking with us today.
Hi, Peter. It's great to be back.
Well, and you're winning.
Well, we had a good week, I'll say that.
Well, but this is pretty amazing because this has been a protracted set of issues and you've been litigating it for a while. The White House intervened and Bush attempted a presidential order and the courts thumbed their collective noses at him.
Yeah, it was a very interesting development. I think last time I was on the program we talked about how we had won early in January an order from a federal court down here in Los Angeles saying that the Navy had to take particular steps to protect whales in its sonar exercises off the coast of Southern California, especially because those exercises were planned for really key habitat for some whales, including some endangered species like blue whales. The White House, the Bush administration, responded by issuing purported waivers, again, purportedly allowing the Navy to go forward with the exercises as planned. And this week we got a ruling from the court that really wasn't buying it.
And this is U.S. Magistrate Elizabeth LaPorte here in San Francisco.
No, actually, that ruling, which came down Wednesday, is a judge, Judge Florence Marie Cooper, down in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
And she's the same judge that issued the original injunction. Mm-hmm. What she said was, as we had argued to her, the president's attempted end run around Congress and federal environmental law, as well as around the California Coastal Commission, which itself is suing the Navy over these same exercises, was illegal. And the court decided to restore what we see as the proper balance between the executive and the courts and between national security and our coastal resources.
Okay.
So Judge Cooper decided that the waivers were unlawful.
And then it was the San Francisco magistrate, Elizabeth LaPorte, who ruled that the Navy has to conduct these exercises with restrictions related to protecting whales and other marine mammals.
Right. So we got Judge Cooper's order on Monday, and then on Wednesday we got Judge LaPorte's order in a separate case challenging the Navy's use of low-frequency sonar. The Navy has attempted to begin to use low-frequency sonar throughout 75% of the world's oceans. We had challenged their permit in federal court before Judge LaPorte, and she agreed with us that the Navy was likely in violation of the law, and she is issuing a preliminary injunction restricting the Navy's use of that technology in areas that are considered key marine mammal habitat, which is great news.
Well, and it's pretty expansive. Now, tell me if this is an increase in the protected zones, but she is ordering protection for Davidson Seamount, which adjoins the Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary, as well as portions of Monterey Bay. And they add to that the Farallones National Marine Sanctuary. That's about 25 miles off the Golden Gate Bridge here in San Francisco. But she goes on to say that other areas that must be sonar-free include the Galapagos Islands off Ecuador, the Great Barrier Reef off Australia, the Pelagos in the Mediterranean Sea, and a protected area of coral reefs and underwater habitat 115 miles northwest of Hawaii. So this is rather sweeping. And I find it interesting, is there a jurisdictional issue that a federal court can tell the U.S. Navy what it can and can't do outside of our territorial waters?
No, there is no jurisdictional issue because the federal agencies, like the Navy, have to comply with federal environmental law, even when their actions take place outside U.S. waters. So that's what allows the court to issue this injunction here. And you're right. The court decided or held that the Navy had done a poor job and that another federal dependent, the National Marine Fisheries Service, had done a poor job deciding which areas around the world are really spectacular whale and marine mammal habitat and therefore deserve protection. So the court is stepping in and declaring certain areas off limits. The list that you read off is really just the beginning. The court has actually directed the parties to sit down together along with a mediator, another judge, and hammer out even more areas where, because of the importance of marine habitat, the Navy should not go with the teleface sonar.
This is a pretty strong development, Kara. I think you're being a little modest about saying you've had a good week. Now, are either of these rulings subject to appeal, and do you have concerns that the government will appeal it up to the whale watchers on the Supreme Court?
Yeah, both are subject to appeal. And in fact, the Navy has already appealed the first of the two orders, the one respecting the Bush administration waivers. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal is the next step for the Navy, and the Ninth Circuit's already decided that it will hold a hearing on this issue in February 27th, I believe, in Pasadena. So, you know, we're up for some more fight, but we're confident that the Ninth Circuit will agree with the district court here and say that, you know, not even the military, not even the president is above the laws.
And Kara Horowitz from NRDC, who's on your legal team?
Well, there are a few lawyers at NRDC, myself included, and a guy named Joel Reynolds, who heads up our marine mammal program, who's just fabulous. And then we have outside counsel, a wonderful group of lawyers from a law firm here in Los Angeles called Irell and Manella, who are working for us for free, pro bono. And we love all that they do on this case.
Wow.
Very grateful to them.
Well, you know, given the circumstances and the way the Bush administration has manhandled our environmental policies, rolled back protections for endangered species and habitats in general, this really is a stunning development, and I hope you're able to prevail on appeal.
Thanks so much. I certainly am confident that we will. I was remiss and actually failed to mention our San Francisco lawyers on the team that helped in our LSA victory, a group of lawyers at the San Francisco law firm of Morrison & Forrester also working pro bono for us.
The MOFO team.
That's right, the MOFO team. Very, very key to our LSA victory.
Mm-hmm. Great. If you have a question or comment about this issue, about the whales, about the Navy sonar, about these lawsuits, Kara's with us for another segment, so you can call me right now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 is our toll-free number. Kara, the whales are the obvious beneficiaries of your efforts, but there are other marine mammals who are similarly affected by the use of the Navy's high-powered sonar. What are those species?
It's true. We talk a lot about whales because they are the charismatic megafauna, but really sonar is an incredibly loud sound that projects all throughout the marine ecosystem. It has profound effects for not just whales, but other marine mammals and other species too. This is sound so loud that it disrupts fish when they're trying to breed and lay their eggs. It's believed to cause strandings of the elusive great squids. And you know, and we actually don't know very much about its effects on sea turtles, but we know that sea turtles show sort of a panicky response when subjected to these loud sounds. So given the sort of pervasive effects of the sound on the ecosystem, it's not surprising that these injunctions will protect not just whales but other species too.
Now, Kara, help me out here and feel free to straighten me out, but I've done some scuba diving, and at least human hearing is impeded underwater because there's a barrier of water between any sound waves coming and your inner ear. I take it that marine mammals don't have the same hearing issues in water. And in fact, their own internal navigation systems, and I'm thinking of dolphins in particular right now, are keyed to sound waves and to signals that they send and receive.
Yeah, so as a scuba diver, you'll know that underwater, light does not travel very, very far or very well. Instead, sound travels much further and much better than light underwater, and therefore, marine species such as marine mammals have evolved over millennia to have really exquisite senses of sound. And they rely on sound to do things like navigate, to find food, to find mates. Certain large whale species are believed to communicate even across ocean basins. They're so loud and they're able to produce sounds that can be heard many thousands of miles away by other whales.
Mm-hmm.
So they have just tremendous senses of hearing. And this tremendously loud naval sonar really messes with some pretty basic life functions.
Well, I'll tell you a quick anecdote. I'm a sailor, and this about 10 or 15 years ago, I was on a sailboat off the Caribbean island of St. Kitts. And it was a very quiet, calm day, not much wind, and we were basically just drifting along. And I had a CD on the stereo. It was Robbie Robertson and some of his Native American music. Had a big bass line, a lot of drums. And at one point I looked up, and we were surrounded by more than 100 dolphins. And they were swimming alongside our boat. They were clearly attracted to the sound that they heard. I don't know if they perceived it as music. And they swam alongside us for as long as the CD was playing. And when it was over, I really didn't make the connection. But the music stopped, and these critters swam away. And it was just so neat to experience it. They would swim up alongside the boat and kind of race one another along the left and the starboard and port side of the boat, and they would crisscross right at the bow. And I went up there and watched them, and they were doing this in a very playful way. And because of the navigation systems that are audio-based that they have, they could do this effortlessly. And they couldn't see each other as they were coming up, one on the left, one on the right, but they never collided. They knew where that other dolphin was on the other side of the boat, even though they didn't have visual contact with them.
It's really incredible what these animals are able to do. I just get chills thinking about, as I said, whales being able to communicate with each other, potentially across ocean basins, using sound and using their echolocation, being able to migrate for many, many thousands of miles. I had the pleasure last year of visiting a bunch of gray whales that migrate up and down the California coast. I visited them in their Mexico home in the winter, where they go every year to a series of the same lagoons to give birth to their young. And how they find their way to those precise lagoons down from Alaska every year and back again remains a mystery. But, you know, the one thing we know is that sound has a lot to do with it.
Well, you know, so, they stop at AAA and pick up maps.
Of course they do.
We're going to take a break and return. Kara Horowitz is with us, an attorney with the National Resources Defense Council, NRDC. We're talking about their victories. They're moving forward in protecting marine mammals from the Navy's use of sonar. And I want to hasten to add that these are in maneuvers that could be anywhere in the world. And the Navy wants to cite them for their own convenience in areas known to have high populations of marine mammals. And the courts are ruling in favor of the whales in the NRDC. If you have a question or a comment, this is the perfect time for it. Call me now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And we do accept collect calls from whales. You're listening to a President's Day replay of the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll be back live tomorrow.
Every night, Jack Thomas camps out on a cold, lonely street corner. Tonight, some people almost brought him something to eat. Someone almost drove him to a shelter. Another almost brought him a warm blanket. And Jack Thomas, well, he almost made it through the night. Sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. But that's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. Visit don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
We were looking for an inclusive community, so we joined a Unitarian Universalist church where we can really live our values.
Did you know the American Red Cross, the League of Women Voters, the ACLU, and the SPCA were all founded by Unitarians or Universalists?
Imagine a denomination that walks its talk. When Martin Luther King Jr. appealed to clergy to join protesters at Selma, Alabama, more than one-third of the Unitarian Universalist parish ministers answered his call.
And Unitarian Universalists are still fighting for justice today. We're speaking up everywhere for marriage equality, for reproductive rights, for the environment, and for our civil liberties.
A denomination with progressive values makes a difference in today's world. Unitarian Universalists. Come visit our church on the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website, uucmp.org, or call 624-7404.
Pacific Grove's Joe Rombi has turned his attention to pizza. Central Coast residents and visitors can now enjoy the finest pizza this side of Italy. Whether you crave the elegant simplicity of a pizza margherita or one of Joe Rombi's signature creations, you'll fall in love with pizza all over again at Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa Pizzeria, next to Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina on 17th Street in Pacific Grove. Click on joerombi.com or call 831-373-0129. That's 373-0129.
I told our people get information without torture and was assured by our Justice Department that we were not torturing.
And you need to know they hate us because we love freedom.
Listen, we've never been stayed, of course, George.
And I think it's important in a time of war that to the extent possible we leave politics out of the major decisions being made.
However, we will not go along with a partisan fishing expedition aimed at honorable public servants. I have proposed a reasonable way to avoid an impasse.
Said was the Czech intelligence service reported after 9/11 that Atta had been in Prague on April 9th of 2001, where he allegedly met with an Iraqi intelligence official. We have never been able to confirm that, nor have we been able to knock it down. It's been pretty well confirmed that he did go to Prague and he did meet with a senior official of the Iraqi intelligence service in Czechoslovakia last April.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking about the struggle over the Navy's use of sonar and its impact on marine mammals like whales. Coming up right after the top of the hour news, we'll talk with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, get a recap of Super Tuesday, where some of the problems were with election systems, the double bubble in L.A., sleepovers, not of voting machines, but of ballots in New Mexico, and some other issues, too, that have popped up, like, where's Ken Blackwell, and why can't he come to Congress and testify as requested? We continue now with Kara Horowitz from the National Resources Defense Council. And, Kara, is there a website where people can get more information on these legal actions we've been talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. www.nrdc, that's for Natural Resources Defense Council.com, has lots of information about not just our lawsuits, but on Navy sonar in general and on its effects on whales and other species. So I encourage people to check that out.
All right, great. Let's go to Deborah in Carmel. Thanks for calling, Deborah. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Kara Horowitz.
Hi, dear. I have been following this with great interest, and congratulations. But my fear is that there's something going on at a different level, that by declaring an emergency, we have various government agencies saying, therefore, we don't have to comply with NEPA, or if it's California, with CEQA. Are you picking that up anywhere?
And can you decode those acronyms, please?
California Environmental Quality Act and the National Environmental Protection Act.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Kara.
Thanks, Deborah. I think that's a great question, and that's exactly what we were taking on in one of our cases in Southern California. You're precisely right. What the federal government, and particularly the Bush administration, had done in that case was try to declare an emergency in order to avoid compliance with NEPA, the National Environmental Policy Act, in its conduct of Southern California sonar exercises. And it said, because there's an emergency here, we don't have to comply, and therefore the court has no right to issue its injunction requiring protective measures.
Now,
That's exactly the argument we were confronting, and the court rejected it flatly.
I'm sorry, Kara, but is this emergency the pending invasion of San Diego?
Well, you know, the court doesn't have your sense of humor, but essentially agreed with you. What the court said is there is no emergency here. Any emergency is of the Navy's own making because it simply failed to comply with the law earlier. Now it finds that because I have issued this injunction requiring it to comply with the law, all of a sudden it's an emergency. Well, the necessity to comply with the law doesn't constitute an emergency, is basically what the court said.
Mm, very interesting. Go ahead, Deborah.
Monterey County and other parts of Northern California.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear that, Deborah. Can you say that again?
Yeah, a little louder, Deborah.
Monterey County was sprayed from the air in the middle of the night. No CEQA or NEPA was done. It was done under the auspices of the California Food and Agriculture Department, and they are refusing to do CEQA. And the chemical stuff that's being sprayed to confuse the light brown non-native apple moth has never been sprayed on humans before, or at least not on American humans. So we wind up being the guinea pigs.
Do you know anything about that, Kara?
No, I don't, Deborah. I'm sorry. I don't know anything about that in particular. But
the same technique was used. They declared an emergency.
So she's saying the same technique was used, the declaration of an emergency. And I haven't heard of a pending invasion of Monterey or Carmel by the Sea.
They're in San Francisco. And they're putting up twist ties in trees in Marin County. Us, we got sprayed in the middle of the night.
And do you know, Deborah, if anybody's taken that on? As a law, you know, challenge?
They're trying, but it's the normal that, you know, little people with little pocketbooks and little local attorneys, and they haven't gotten into a courtroom to reach the issue of CEQA and NEPA applying.
Well, it sounds like you may certainly have a case, so I wish you luck with it.
And would NRDC be an appropriate resource for her?
Perhaps. That's not an area that I work in, but it may be. I know that there are some folks in our San Francisco office who take on the use of toxics and issues affecting public health.
All right. Deborah, thank you for an excellent question.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate the call today. And, Kara, about 30 seconds remaining. Anything you'd like to add that we haven't covered already?
Well, I'll just say that both of the wonderful rulings that we got this week say essentially the same thing. Sonar is really harmful to whales. The Navy is violating the law when it uses sonar, and it can and must do more to protect marine mammals and other species while training effectively. So, and that's the take-home message.
All right. Very good. Kara, thanks for your work.
Thank you so much, Peter.
We'll talk again. Kara Horowitz from the National Resources Defense Council. That's an actual whale. We're going to take a break and return. His Bradness, Brad Friedman, coming up next. We'll talk about Super Tuesday and how it all went. You're welcome to call in at 888-5-PETER-B. Grab a podcast, share it with a friend. The link's on the homepage at peterbcollins.com. And check out the Peter B. Challenge.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company, which offers more than 60 different wines made with certified organic grapes. Veronique, French wines are intimidating for some American consumers. Mm-hmm. How do you help break it down for us?
Don't be intimidated. What is there to be intimidated about? There's nothing too exotic about them. You either like them or you don't like them. You know, it's really simple. You either like Van Gogh or you don't. You either like the Beatles or you don't. You know, wines are really a form of a vibration in a bottle, just like poetry, just like music. And you know the style of music that you like. So maybe you're going to love French wines. And then go for it.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE, toll free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Wisconsin is the next test in Campaign 08.
Well, tomorrow's a big day. it's a big day.
Why did Andy Pettit take HGH?
This is pure out of desperation. I mean, that's all I can tell you.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Wisconsin's primary tomorrow, and to a lesser extent Hawaii's contest, are the next hurdles for the presidential hopefuls. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman is in Beloit, Wisconsin.
All the candidates, Republican and Democratic, are making final pitches to voters here. The focus, though, is on the Democrats. Barack Obama trying to extend his streak of 8 straight wins. The polls show him in front, but only by around 5 percentage points. Today, Hillary Clinton is making 3 appearances here.
I'm asking for your help tomorrow.
Obama has 1 appearance tonight. Both Obama and Clinton have their supporters.
Probably Obama. Just like the way his ethics are and stuff like that.
Hillary Clinton. Because she's got experience.
Those who vote tomorrow will have to deal with less than ideal weather. Temperatures in many parts of the state will be below freezing. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Beloit, Wisconsin.
Republican John McCain picked up an important endorsement today.
His character was forged in the crucible of war. His commitment to America is beyond any doubt. But most importantly, he has the right values and experience to guide our nation forward at this historic moment.
Former President George H.W. Bush said conservative criticism of John McCain is grossly unfair. Now this.
What if I told you buying a good used car just got a whole lot easier? And what if you could know the history, mileage, and price of that used car long before you even go to the dealership? Well, here's the answer. Simply go online and search Yahoo for Honda certified used cars. You'll see the current selection at the Honda dealers nearest you, along with the information you need to make an informed decision. Feels good to be in control, doesn't it? Okay, no more questions. Honda certified used cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
Welcome to Chapman's Cheeses.
Yes, what do you recommend today?
Well, there's a special on forgotten expenses and disorganized sales figures, but I highly recommend the lingering invoicing. Very well aged.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why millions of businesses rely on QuickBooks software to easily deal with routine chores, like tracking sales, organizing expenses, and creating invoices, so you can get back to what you do best.
This is a cheese shop, isn't it?
Yeah.
QuickBooks. Get back to business. Start today at QuickBooks.com.
Andy Pettit spoke out this afternoon at the New York Yankees training camp in Florida. The star pitcher apologized for his use of human growth hormone, saying he only did it because he felt obligated to recover from injuries as quickly as possible.
Anyone, I did this to try to get off the DL and to do my job.
Pettit, heard courtesy of ESPN and the YES Network, did not comment directly on Roger Clemens' claim that Pettit misremembered conversations about steroid use, but Pettit said the conflicting testimony has put a strain on their friendship. Amtrak will announce stepped-up security measures tomorrow. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has a preview.
Amtrak police will use armed counterterrorism agents and dogs that sniff for explosives in what the chief executive of the railroad, Alex Cumont, calls mobile security teams.
In a pop-up mode, conducting basically random screenings at stations up and down the Northeast Corridor.
If you don't agree to have your luggage searched, you'll be escorted to the ticket window to get a full refund. The plan doesn't call for interrogating or arresting you. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
At Penn Station in New York, this Amtrak passenger welcomes the change.
It does make me feel safer. Perhaps I'll be annoyed if I happen to get randomly searched, but I know that it's for my benefit.
Critics say the Agriculture Department has locked the barn after the horse was stolen. It's ordered the recall of beef processed by a Chino, California slaughterhouse as far back as February 2006. Much, but not all of that meat has already been consumed. School lunch programs have a fair amount. Paul Baumgartner is in charge of feeding kids in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
We're sitting on 487 cases of ground beef that will have to be probably destroyed.
Meatballs are off the menu at schools in the Tampa area. In Cobb County, Georgia, Kristen Peterson, a mother of two, demands better quality food, even if it costs more.
I don't mind. It's only $1.60 a day. If it went up to $2.60, it went up to $3.60.
Operations at the slaughterhouse were shut down after undercover video showed sick cows being prodded with forklifts. So-called downer cows are not allowed in the food supply. The first of five victims of last week's shootings at Northern Illinois University was laid to rest today. Hundreds gathered in suburban Chicago to mourn 20-year-old Catalina Garcia, a sophomore who was studying to be a teacher. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
In the end, all any of us have is our good name. So at Mercedes-Benz, we don't put our name on just anything. Every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz comes with a 155-point inspection, roadside assistance, a one-year warranty up to 100,000 miles, and the one thing no other pre-owned vehicle can offer, our good name. Mercedes-Benz. Stop by your local authorized dealer and ask about our certified pre-owned program.
See dealer for complete details on warranty and roadside assistance. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your oil change sticker.
I've been in the sun too long. I think I'm peeling.
No kidding. How come?
Hello? Maybe you're overdue for an oil change at the dealer.
Oh, right. How about that?
Well, you know what? I should have written out the date or mileage to remind you. Oh, wait. I did.
All right. Time to go to the dealer.
Good idea. And don't worry about me. I'll be fine on your windshield for the next 5,000 miles.
See? Everybody wins.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service. Come in.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show here on the President's Holiday. This program is pre-recorded for my leisure. I got to take a long weekend and got to give Katrina Rill and Brian Urban the day off today. Hope whatever you're doing is pleasant and a break from your routines. Coming up just a seconds away, you're going to hear Michael Scheuer, a former CIA officer whose new book is called Marching Toward Hell. And he has a lot of powerful comments. I hope you'll stay tuned for that. Next hour, Trevor Paglen, who first helped us understand the rendition flights used by the CIA to send people to other parts of the world. That's something Michael Scheuer used to be in charge of. Both of them will be talking about it in the next hour and a half. Drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com. And you can grab a podcast of this show and other recent programs. Just follow the link on the homepage at peterbcollins.com. The voice of a former CIA analyst, a guy who ran the Bin Laden unit for many years, Michael Scheuer. His new book is called Marching Toward Hell.
This ain't no technological breakdown. Oh no, this is the road.
Marching Toward Hell, America and Islam After Iraq. That's the newest book from Michael Scheuer. He risked his job at the CIA to publish his first book under the name Anonymous at first and then revealed his identity. It was called Imperial Hubris, Why the West is Losing the War on Terror. And he subsequently published a book called Through Our Enemy's Eyes, Osama Bin Laden, Radical Islam, and the Future of America. Michael Scheuer, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you very much, sir. You're very kind to have me.
Well, it's always great to talk with you. You're a fascinating voice. You're the most polite career CIA guy that I've ever talked with. And I can just imagine, as you were preparing to execute me, that you would call me sir. You would ask if, there's a soda or something that you could get for me. And then you would add with some regret that it is your duty to terminate my life. And bye-bye.
Well, I would try to send you out in style, sir.
Yeah, I guess so. Michael, I learned some interesting things from your new book. One is that you and I share something in common. We were trained by the Jesuits.
Yes, sir.
And I don't do all that sir stuff because I kind of parted ways with the Jesuits at the end of high school. But I do think that the education that we got turns us into critical thinkers who are willing to think through things and also resist conventional wisdom and groupthink and just speak for oneself. And
I think that's a perfect way to describe it, sir. The Jesuits teach a man to speak for himself.
Yeah.
I think that's exactly right. And it was not always a pleasant experience, but it was at the end of the day, it was a tremendously profitable experience for me.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they would know you as Brother Scheuer, and the next time you saw them, they would look right past you as if you weren't existing.
Yeah.
So it was a very testing experience, but a very good one.
Yes, indeed. The other thing that I learned that I wanted to lead off with today is that you were in charge of the CIA rendition program in the early 1990s.
Yes, sir.
And many of us know about extraordinary rendition really only in recent years as it was utilized by the Bush administration. And I happen to be a sharp critic of the manner in which it has been used. But one of the things that rendition links to many of the other subjects that we'll discuss is that you fault Republicans and Democrats for failed foreign policies, and we'll discuss them in more detail. But talk a little bit about rendition and your own view of it and how it was employed by President Bill Clinton.
Yes, sir. We were directed in the middle of 1995 by Mr. Clinton. Mr. Berger then was in the White House, and Richard Clark, begin to dismantle as many cells of al-Qaeda as we could find around the world. The intelligence at that time was showing very clearly that it was unlike any other terrorist group we had seen in terms of sophistication, dispersal, geographic dispersal, and intention. And so we did that. The assignment was given to the CIA, and we said, all right, we can do that, but what do we do with the people that are arrested? And Mr. Clinton's administration's answer was basically, that's up to you. And we said, no, you don't get it. We don't run jails. We don't have arrest authority. What do you want us to do with these people? And basically they said it was up to us. So what we decided to do was to focus on individuals in al-Qaeda, senior individuals, who were wanted in another country for a terrorism crime or some other crime, that there was a legal process outstanding for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so those were the portion of the al-Qaeda leadership we focused on. And we went back to the White House as we began this process, this program in the fall of 1995, and said to the White House, listen, here's what we're going to do. Do you want us to do it? And they said yes. And then we said, remember that most of these people are wanted in countries that are on your list of human rights abusers or bad judicial systems, and your State Department is going to be condemning those governments that you want us to take people to. And they said, well, that's a problem. and they said yes, because at the end of the day, we said it more diplomatically, when this becomes public, you will leave the agency holding the bag. And they said, well, will those countries promise to treat these people according to their own laws? And we said, we're pretty sure that the Egyptians will, or whoever will, treat these people according to their own laws. And that satisfied the Clinton administration. Now, there's been some post hoc insistence by Mr. Clinton and Mr. Clark and Mr. Berger that they insisted that these rendered terrorists be treated according to international standards and the standards of U.S. law. And that is really a post hoc lie that was never demanded of any country we took a rendition target to.
So then in the Clinton years, you didn't render people to Egypt unless Egypt had a warrant out for this person?
That's exactly right, sir. The legal guidelines were that anyone who was picked up or who was a target of the CIA had to be a legitimate, you had to have information showing that he was either involved in terrorist activities, intended to be involved, or was a planner. And you had to convince the lawyers of that, and he had to have an outstanding judicial process somewhere in the world for him.
Mm-hmm.
And until you met those criteria, you couldn't, you could not undertake the operation.
Okay, and in these cases, if you overflew European airspace, for example, did you apply for permits, or did you skirt those laws and simply assert America's right to operate in this manner?
We're treading into areas, sir, where I'm not at liberty to talk about, but I think you can imagine that this program, all clandestine programs, are just that, clandestine. But the idea that you could fly through European airspace without their permission is, of course, a non-starter. No one can fly over another country's airspace, especially a European country, without having a genuine problem if you do so without announcement or without permission.
And from what you know of the rendition program under the Bush administration, do you feel that they violated those rubrics?
You know, I don't think so. I think there is an obligation to ask permission to fly through an airspace. I'm not sure there's always an obligation to declare what's on the aircraft. The real irony here, sir, is I've always been surprised, as you mentioned, that the media has focused so much on rendition under Mr. Bush, which at the end of the day probably is a much more humane process than the one that was executed under Mr. Clinton.
Because?
Certainly we do nothing that approaches the level of the possible level of brutality or torture that's done in Middle Eastern countries.
Yeah, but we have the cases that are on the books of Maher Arar, the Canadian, and Al-Masri, the German, who were subjected to rendition. They were taken initially to American facilities where they report that they were tortured. And in the case of Maher Arar, he was a Syrian exile who did not want to be repatriated. That was his biggest fear. And we sent him to Syria, where he reports he was tortured. So in those cases, that stretches your point, Mr. Scheuer.
Well, I think I would say there's two different things. As far as I'm aware, Khaled al-Masri was an operation conducted by the clandestine service. I remember the dossier on him. If I had to make a decision again today on the basis of the information that was available, I would have said do it again, or I would have asked permission to do it again. Maher Arar,
right,
was
Canadian.
Not an agency operation. That was something done at the request through the FBI, at the request of the Canadians.
I see. Well, that is an important distinction. I understand that. Have you seen the movie Rendition?
I have not, sir, no.
Okay. Well, then I won't get your review.
Okay.
Michael Scheuer is with us. As we continue, I want to dive into his new book, Marching Toward Hell. He's trying to tell us something. And I hope you'll listen. We're going to continue in just a moment. If you have a question or comment along the way, feel free to join us. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. More in a moment with former CIA officer Michael Scheuer here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show from Green 9.
This is a President's Day replay of the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for listening.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Good afternoon. Taking a check of your KRXA traffic. Do have a couple accidents at Morgan Hill, Oakland Avenue at Willow Springs Road. This is an injury accident. A vehicle on its roof, it did actually land upside down on the right-hand shoulder, so no lanes are blocked, but crews are on the right-hand shoulder. We're going to clear this up so you may see a little bit of sluggish traffic around the area. Two vehicles also mixed up in Gilroy. This is a Leavesley Road off-ramp from southbound 101. Two vehicles are working their way over to the right-hand shoulder, but you can see the lanes partially blocked as they're making their way over. So again, as you're exiting Leavesley Road off of southbound 101 in Gilroy, be aware that you're going to see some activity in the lanes right there. In Carmel, southbound Highway 1 at Rio Road, reports actually the left turn signal light is stuck on red. Crews just about on scene to fix that, but do be aware, you're going to be sitting there for a while. Traffic brought to you by Office Depot. Still looking for an HD TV now through February 23rd. Hurry to Office Depot for an Oliva 42-inch HD TV, now only $79.99. Office Depot, taking care of business. I'm Diane Morgan. That's your KRXA traffic.
We continue here on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. It's 22 minutes after the hour. Michael Scheuer spent more than 20 years working for the Central Intelligence Agency. His new book is called Marching Toward Hell, America and Islam After Iraq. And there are a number of powerful comments and observations that he makes in the book. He believes that we have a bipartisan failure of political leadership in foreign policy and doesn't single out Bush over Clinton or Clinton over Bush in that respect. He also believes that America has tilted too much toward Israel and Saudi Arabia in its policies in the Middle East. And I certainly agree on both of those counts. And, Michael, I'd like to just start off here with a quote from very close to the end of your book here, and you talk about, you make an assertion that we have been defeated in Iraq and Afghanistan. I want to talk about that in a moment. But you write, at base, the United States has been defeated in Iraq and Afghanistan because U.S. leaders forgot or ignored the history of their country. The founders clearly saw the undoing of their republic if its government became involved in efforts to install the American model abroad, even if such an endeavor was launched in response to requests for help from foreign champions of liberty and democracy. You lift a quote from John Quincy Adams in 1821, and then citing it, you go on. The results for America of enlisting under banners other than her own are now being played out in the mountains, deserts, and cities of Afghanistan and Iraq. In trying to install America's system in devoutly Islamic lands, U.S. leaders display an arrogance derived from an odd combination of ignorance and naivete. Ignorance in not recognizing America's uniqueness or accepting that our political experience is not reproducible in a society characterized by the powerful pervasiveness of the Islamic faith. And you go on to say, naivete in not realizing that people like Hamid Karzai in Afghanistan, Ahmed Chalabi, our boy in Iraq, are quintessential representatives of what Adams called men of individual avarice, envy, and ambition, who can be counted on to assume the colors and usurp the standard of freedom. Now, I think this is a very powerful statement. Do you care to amplify a little bit?
Well, we talk so much about the founders today, sir, as if we knew what we were talking about. And what I tried to point out there, as you read it, was that the founders were very sure in their wisdom that America was a unique entity, not that it was better than anyone else or necessarily better than anyone else, but something that was unique because of our geographical position and our cultural inheritance. And the founders would probably be flipping in their graves at the idea of us trying to install a secular democracy in Afghanistan or in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can forgive any political leader, Democrat or Republican, for not knowing the five times of the day when Muslims pray. Or they don't know the biography of the prophet, or they don't know Islamic history. You can never forgive them for not knowing the history of their own country. And my own view is that our current leadership generation either is ignorant of our history, and they're all supposedly well-educated people, or they have nothing but contempt and a contempt for what Americans have achieved on this continent. And it's astounding. Our democracy started, if you want to pick a date, probably at Runnymede in 1215.
Mm-hmm.
We've been at this 800 years. We've only had a Voting Rights Act in our country since 1964. And through those 800 years, there has been emigration from Europe to here. There has been a revolution, civil war, world wars, depression, lynching, segregation, slavery. And all of that is part of what we are. And for Mr. Bush or Mr. Clinton or now Mrs. Clinton, Senator Obama, or McCain to think they're going to digest that material, put it on a CD-ROM and give it to Chalabi or Maliki or Karzai, and have it installed in the next 6 months or 6 years is really an unforgivable error.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they're leading America to the road to disaster by doing this.
Well, and if I were to come up with a label, I don't consider you an isolationist, but an America firster. Is that fair?
I think so, a non-interventionist, sir. I'm really not opposed at all to fighting a war if our national interests are at stake. But I fail to see President Bush in his second inaugural said that increasingly freedom at home and liberty at home in America depends on installing that elsewhere around the world. There is no more silly statement in the course of American history than that one. What you fight for is freedom of the seas against military threats that are aimed at you. Unfortunately for America, in the coming years, we'll be fighting for oil because the Congress has done nothing in 35 years to make us secure in that regard.
Let me jump in. We're going to take a break and return with Michael Scheuer. His new book is called Marching Toward Hell, America and Islam After Iraq. If you have a question or comment, now's the time. 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
It's official. Now they're swooning. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Yes, at least six times now, women have swooned at rallies for you-know-who.
We have somebody who made it.
Women love a man. Obama is his name. Whenever he comes on the TV, my wife just shooes me away. I must sit quietly in the corner. Obama is giving a speech. He's giving a speech.
She's just feeling a little thing. She's fine. You probably didn't eat lunch.
It could be the sound of his voice, or maybe they think he's a saint. But when he's in front of a crowd, suddenly some woman faints. Maybe the air is too stuffy. Maybe they just lack endurance. Or maybe it just sounds so sexy when he promises cheap health insurance.
You got me okay.
He may not appeal to Latinos. He's weak among working class men. As for Asians, the Jews, and the Irish, I have no idea about them. But he will certainly have all the women as soon as they're conscious again.
We got medical attention coming.
Now this.
So, when do you think we can start drywalling?
Well, once we lay down these nagging paycheck calculations, we can put up those payroll deductions and start pouring the tax limits.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why so many businesses nationwide rely on QuickBooks Payroll to easily handle creating paychecks, calculating payroll deductions, and preparing tax filings, so you can get back to what you do best.
You are a contractor.
For over 10 years.
QuickBooks Payroll. Get back to business. Learn more at QuickBooks.com/payroll.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super green nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey and Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we would like to personally invite you to experience why Monterey County food critics are raving about our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Could it be our fantastic, one-of-a-kind specialty pizzas or huge calzones, such as the Jamaican Me Crazy, the White Sands Beach, the Veggin' Out, or the Wild Mushroom Dream?
Or could it be because we also offer delicious salads, sandwiches, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger?
Recently recognized as Local's Favorite, Best for Families, Most Creative, Big Screen and Big Eat, and we'll return to spend our own money.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with an ice-cold draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh-brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's Hawaiian ice cream.
That's A Pizza Paradise, located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina. Or call 582-9149 or see us on the web at apizzaparadise.net.
That's A Pizza Paradise.
582-9149.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines are open if you'd like to talk with me and my guest, Michael Scheuer. 888-5-PETER-B is the toll-free number. That's 1-888-573-8372. Are you ready? Michael Scheuer's new book is called Marching Toward Hell, America and Islam After Iraq. It's out in hardcover for just $27 from Free Press. And, Michael, I wanted to lift another quote. This one is from the preface to your book, and it'll speak for itself. The absurdity of the debate between bin Laden and U.S. policymakers is palpable and generally unfolds as follows. Bin Laden issues a starkly specific attack on U.S. foreign policy, and Washington responds with defiant words defending a right or liberty that bin Laden has not mentioned and that has nothing to do with his assertion. Thus, bin Laden says, get U.S. forces out of the Arabian Peninsula. Washington responds, you will not prevent our women from going to school. Bin Laden says, stop supporting Russia's genocidal war in Chechnya. Washington responds, you will not disrupt our elections. Bin Laden says, stop supporting the tyrannical Arab police states that oppress and torture. Washington says, freedom is on the march for Arabs. And there are a few more on the list here, but I think people get the idea. And, Michael, do you think there's any hope that at some point we will stop talking past one another and at least listen critically to what Osama bin Laden has been saying since he declared war on the United States in 1996?
Sir, there doesn't seem to be any chance in the next four-year term that we'll do that. Mr. Obama is kind of a blank slate to me in terms of foreign policy, but from what I've read, he sounds very much a status quo person. Mrs. Clinton clearly is a status quo person. And if Mr. McCain is elected, if it's allowable under Islam to do the happy dance in a cave, then Osama bin Laden and his boys will be doing the happy dance.
It's hard to do when you're attached to a dialysis machine.
Yes. I guess it would be the happy foot pitter-pat. But, no, you know, we tend to denigrate our enemies as gangsters and nihilists and just simple criminals. I have to say that from my own perspective, there's a touch of genius in bin Laden because he has focused on a set of American foreign policies that polls show to be viewed by 80% of the Muslims around the world as an attack on their faith or on their brethren.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say that that percentage is willing to pick up a rifle, but it's a fairly large support base. Our politicians, of course, don't want to talk about unqualified support for Israel. They really don't want to do anything about energy. They're not going to tell the American people that your son or daughter is going to die in a war to protect the gangsters that run Saudi Arabia.
And while we have removed our troops from there, Bush was there just recently holding hands and kissing the king's face. I mean,
yeah, just basically groveling.
Those images, and he asked for more oil, and they said no.
No, well, they're the masters, sir. They control the spigot, and now they control a good part of our debt they own. And really, you can talk about Russia, you can talk about China as threats to the United States, but there's no nation on this earth that's more threatening to America than Saudi Arabia.
Now, why is it that your opinion is not heard on that issue? I agree with you. From 9/11 forward, I felt we should be focusing on Pakistan and Saudi Arabia, and that Iraq should be way down that list.
Yes, sir. Iraq clearly wasn't a threat to the United States in anyone's imagination, but kind of the fervid imaginations of Feith and Wolfowitz. And the reason that the Saudis aren't more generally condemned, I think it's because they quite liberally bribe the Congress by buying large amounts of American arms, because they hire former senior intelligence officers, ambassadors, and generals to lobby the White House and the Congress on their behalf.
Somebody like Jim Baker and Madeleine Albright?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And virtually every ambassador, if something happens that makes Saudi Arabia look bad, within a day or two there'll be a full page or a large editorial op-ed piece in the Wall Street Journal by a former U.S. ambassador to Riyadh saying what great guys the Saudis are.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is that no American politician wants to admit that we've so squandered our independence that the Saudis control our economy and our debt. So when you add up all those things, sir, it's not surprising that the Saudis are very seldom criticized within the United States government.
And what about Pakistan? Do you regard them with the same concern that I do?
I think Pakistan's a very dangerous place, but I have to say that I tend to think that the problem with Pakistan is more us than them. When you step back for a moment and look at what Musharraf has done for the United States, he has allowed us virtually unfettered overflight rights of his country. He's allowed the expansion of the military and the intelligence services in his country. Every major senior al-Qaeda person captured in his cities has been with the assistance of his services. The port of Karachi is basically a U.S. naval base at this point in time. And he brought his country to the brink of civil war by sending his army into the border areas where it had never been before. Now, for whatever reason, we don't seem to have an appreciation that Pakistan's national interests are extraordinarily different than ours. And so we keep waiting as if this was the Cold War for our Pakistani proxy to take care of our problem. And it's not going to happen. And I think, in at least in my lifetime, only one man gave up his country for a friend, and that was Mullah Omar in Afghanistan. President Musharraf has done all he can do and keep Pakistan together as a functioning, viable nation state.
And, well, I hear what you're saying. At the same time, we've given Musharraf $11 billion.
Yes.
It appears much of it has been squandered or misdirected. And, you know, most Americans think that by now, if Pakistan is a true ally, we would have captured or killed Osama bin Laden and Ayman al-Zawahiri.
Well, I think Americans think that, sir, but I think this is one point where they ought to step back and say, now, where in the Constitution does the executive branch have the power to delegate the protection of America, America's defense, to a third world dictator? And it's just, to me, this is not the Cold War era anymore. We can't count on proxies to do our dirty work. If we're going to have to, if we have dirty work to do, we're going to have to do it. You know, there's a certain blindness, Mr. Collins, in politicians, in not being able to see the other politician's problems. And you don't need to have empathy for them or sympathy for them, but you should have a realistic view of the parameters they set for his conduct.
Well, and I believe the most valuable service you have provided and attempted to provide to an unwilling media and a nation in denial is not sympathy or compassion for the other side, but simply understanding their point of view. And, for example, you point out in the book that it would have been simple enough for Bush and the neocons to research the religious significance of some of the sites in Iraq to Islam. And that by, you know, putting Christian soldiers on Islamic soil, some of it considered very holy, like the city of Najaf, that we have once again been tone deaf and arrogant and ignorant of the, you know, very geography and the history of that part of the world that is so widely known and readily available.
Yes, sir. There's virtually nothing that has happened in Iraq or in Afghanistan that was not predictable with on the basis of reading a few books. I mentioned in the introduction to my book that it started out to be called From Pandora's Box because I initially had bought into the idea that these were unexpected consequences. As I researched, though, doing a lot of historical reading, I found out that you can have unexpected consequences, but they aren't necessarily unpredictable. And virtually everything that has happened to us in Afghanistan happened to Alexander the Great, happened twice to the British Empire, and happened to the Soviet Union. In Iraq, if you read the British Army's reports of the revolt in Iraq in 1920, they experienced basically the same thing we have done now. One of America's besetting faults in my generation is the fact that we don't think history applies to us. I said in the book somewhere, I think, that we try to make history without reading it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're paying the price for that now. History is exacting a dear price on the United States.
Michael Scheuer, our guest, his new book, Marching Toward Hell. In the book, you declare that 8 or 10 different occasions surfaced during the Clinton administration when you had solid intelligence on the location of Osama bin Laden, and that the U.S. failed to act. That
yes,
you include a story of a trip that you made to the White House with George Tenet, a snowy Sunday just before Christmas in 1998. You had a chance to kill Osama in Kandahar, Afghanistan, and you seem to feel, based on your description here, that the intelligence was very strong, and yet when George Tenet came out of the White House, the decision was not taken to take action. Talk a little bit about this history and what you regard as the failures of the Clinton administration to act on true opportunities to nail the top dogs of Al-Qaeda.
Well, I think that certainly is one, sir. We knew bin Laden was in the governor's palace. We knew which wing he was in, and we saw which room he went into. And on that occasion, the government decided not to try to kill him, because some shrapnel might have hit a mosque nearby. And not worshippers, because this was the middle of the night,
mm-hmm.
but they argued that the shrapnel scratching a mosque or knocking down part of a mosque would so enrage the Muslim world that Americans would be killed around the world willy-nilly. And really, that's an incredibly racist kind of idea, that somehow all Muslims are mad killers if their mosques get scratched.
Well, and you pointed out parenthetically that this was a Sunni area and that Sunnis are less touchy about religious symbols and the sacredness of a building than many Shia are.
Much less so, sir. You know, it's almost heresy at times if you treat a mosque with too much respect, because it is symbolic of God, and God is not something to be represented in man-made symbols. So it was. I think the bigger point is, and I try to be nonpartisan on this on these foreign policy issues. Mr. Bush had a chance to kill Mr. Zarqawi every day for a year before the invasion. He had a chance to get bin Laden at Tora Bora.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that the American people paid for a career for me that was unbelievably beneficial to me and enjoyable and something that I'm proud of. The only disagreeable part of my experience as a CIA officer was over the course of 22, almost 23 years, to see how infrequently the protection of Americans comes first in the consideration of any executive, Democratic or Republican. They're worried about what the Europeans will think about them. They're worried about Muslim opinion. They're worried about whether an arms sale. One time we had a chance to kill bin Laden, and they didn't kill him. because he was with a prince from the United Arab Emirates, and the prince's father was about to buy $8 billion worth of F-16.
Oh, God.
So, and it goes on and on. It's, you know, the protection of American citizens generally comes in about fifth or sixth in the list of priorities, in my experience.
We're going to take a break and return with Michael Scheuer. His new book is fascinating, and he's trying to tell us something, as I've been telling you this hour. I hope you can listen to it. It's called Marching Toward Hell. More in a moment. You can grab a line and talk with us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show.
This is The Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to a holiday replay of the PBC show. We'll be back live tomorrow.
Good evening. Taking a check of your KRXA traffic. Going to start in Gilroy. Got a couple problems, actually. Southbound 101, just as you're approaching the 25 interchange, watch out for some wood debris that's scattered all across the roadway. Reports that people are actually having to swerve in order to avoid that, so watch out for the wood debris as well as people swerving. Again, this is southbound 101, just as you're approaching 25 in Gilroy. Had an earlier accident in Gilroy. This is a Leavesley Road off-ramp from southbound 101. Two vehicles, they were in the roadway. This is now final clearing stages, so you're going to see a little bit of activity over to the right hand shoulder to Leavesley Road off-ramp from southbound 101. And better news from an earlier accident in Morgan Hill, Oak Glen Avenue at Willow Springs Road. This was an injury accident, actually a roof on its a vehicle on its roof on the right-hand shoulder that has been cleared. Traffic, it is brought to you by Office Depot. Still looking for an HD TV? Now through February 23rd, hurry into Office Depot for an Aliva 42-inch HD TV. Now only $799.99. Office Depot, taking care of business. I'm Diane Morgan, and that's your KRXA traffic.
Hi, this is J.R. Medina, and I want to thank KRXA and its listeners for supporting my store, PG Liquors. My son-in-law, Chad, and I truly appreciate the wonderful positive response that we have received to our advertising campaign on this station. We urge other business people in Monterey and Santa Cruz counties who want to increase their business at a reasonable cost to call KRXA's sales manager, Larry Rathall, at 394-5792. KRXA provides the best advertising value that I have found for businesses like mine. Call Larry at 394-KRXA.
Do you want some downtime? A break from work and worry without breaking the bank? At the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes in Watsonville will give you the breathing space you need. The Spa at Pajaro Dunes is now open to the general public. Spend an hour being pampered with a warm stone massage or European facial. Gather your friends together for a spa party or surprise your sweetie with a couples massage. Stay for a long, lazy weekend in a luxurious condo at the Dunes with 150 acres of beach and wetlands. You'll have your own ocean view, and the price is unbeatable. Only a short drive from anywhere on the Central Coast, relief is only minutes away without the time and expense of a long trip. We'll also simplify your wedding plans. Have your ceremony, guests, and special events all in the same place. In nearby Watsonville, at the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes will make your life a little easier and a lot more enjoyable. Call 888-91-DUNES and mention KRXA to get our lowest rates. That's 888-91-DUNES.
Pacific Grove's Joe Rombie has turned his attention to pizza. Central Coast residents and visitors can now enjoy the finest pizza this side of Italy. Whether you crave the elegant simplicity of a pizza margherita or one of Joe Rombie's signature creations, you'll fall in love with pizza all over again at Joe Rombie's La Piccola Casa Pizzeria, next to Joe Rombie's La Mia Cucina on 17th Street in Pacific Grove. Click on joerombie.com or call 831-373-0129. That's 373-0129.
Wiretapping and assassination.
It's the Peter B. Show.
I learned the lingo and the proper etiquette for covert operations. I got my degree in top secrecy, cause I'm gonna be a spy for the CIDIATFBI.
That's Roy Zimmerman from his latest CD called Faulty Intelligence. You can grab it at royzimmerman.com. We continue with Michael Scheuer, former CIA official, 22 years or so at the agency, and his new book is called Marching Toward Hell, America and Islam After Iraq, and he flatly declares that the U.S. has lost in Iraq and Afghanistan. Michael, there was one part of your book that was really hard for me to swallow, And that was, you started off in a kind of criticism of what you call anti-national organizations. And then you get your sledgehammer out for what you call the interlocking network of human rights organizations. And you say that when our troops go into a war zone, that as they seek to kill the enemy in whatever numbers necessary to prevail, these NGOs operate under the prying, biased, busybody, and war crimes litigation eager eyes of human rights groups, monitors, and advocates. And you go on to call them a human rights mafia. Now, isn't that a little bit extreme?
Well, I don't know. You know, I'm very concerned with human rights in the United States. I'm not sure that the rules apply the same way in warfare. My own view is that the only mercy in warfare is getting it over as quickly as you can. But I have to tell you that my respect for the human rights people, which was, I'll admit frankly, was never more than moderate, has fallen precipitously as they chase American soldiers or CIA intelligence officers around because someone gets killed in a war. And at the same time, not a voice is raised about the genocide presided over by Putin and the legatees of the Soviet system.
Mm-hmm.
There's something morally suspect, I think, in organizations who are focused on punishing people for the rendition program, for example, but have no concern whatsoever for the legatees of a system that killed 40 million people.
Now, I understand that point, and Michael, I understand your loyalty to your fellow operatives in the Central Intelligence Agency and other parts of our intelligence community. My issue is with those who break the law in authorizing, for example, a CIA officer, or perhaps it was a contractor, to waterboard Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. And I do not want to see that CIA individual punished, because I believe he or she was doing their job, and we at least know anecdotally that there were individual cables from Washington authorizing individual interrogation activities.
Yes, sir.
What I want to know is who authorized that. And that's what's being stonewalled. And like Abu Ghraib, we are seeing the low-level people vilified and in some cases prosecuted as those who authorized it at the top skate. And that's my issue.
Well, that's a very good issue, sir. You know, the agency, people find it hard to believe because they're not inside, but the agency is palsied by lawyers and legal rulings. But in terms of the CIA rendition program, over the last 13 years, it's very clear who authorized it. Everything that was done was authorized by the President of the United States. His authority is required for any operation the CIA conducts, any covert operation.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, both of the intelligence committees in the Congress, in the House and in the Senate, were fully aware of the program, its conduct, and its successes and failures. So I agree with you that the American people need to be squared with. But, of course, Mr. Clinton has run like crazy, saying he demanded from the Egyptians that all rendition people be treated according to U.S. law and international standards,
mm-hmm.
which is a lie. But you're exactly right. And to my mind, if there's a gripe with this, if there's a problem with this, then the Congress needs to stand up and pass a law that says you can't do this anymore.
All right, let's go to John in Carmel Valley. John, you're on the air with Peter B. and Michael Scheuer.
Someone pointed out if Bush was president at the time of Pearl Harbor, he would have declared war on Iceland, and it's worse than that. It would have probably been Spitsbergen or Sand City or God knows what else. Why I say that is, in my opinion, a bigger mistake even than invading both Afghanistan and Iraq is based on their incredibly false premise that you fight terrorism with conventional military means. We obviously, they didn't learn anything, we didn't learn anything from Vietnam, dealing with the Viet Cong and these phantom-like characters, real guerrillas, and terrorists are more phantom-like, more poltergeist-like than anything we we encountered in Vietnam.
John, you make a good point. Let's get a reaction. Michael Scheuer?
I tend to think that there's nothing, that what we're engaged in has almost nothing to do with terrorism. This is much closer to insurgency, and I think there is a legitimate military role for conventional forces in fighting this enemy. The problem our military has is with our politicians, who have convinced the American people and apparently deluded themselves into believing that you can fight an insurgency with very few casualties on your side, no collateral damage, and only killing the most senior leaders of the enemy. Again, it's a matter of not knowing history, of not knowing the reality that man hasn't changed very much in the last several millennia.
And, Michael, just a final question from Steve in Salinas. He wanted to know how sure you are that Osama bin Laden was responsible for 9/11.
Oh, I think there's no doubt about that, sir. You know, the one thing we do have is a pretty good track record of what he claims to have done and what he's done. He's admitted that he did it. The intelligence was...
But do we have any proof?
Well,
Khalid Sheikh Mohammed has admitted a lot of things that he couldn't possibly have done.
Well, I think one of the things that the problem we have with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed in what he's admitted to is that the only way you know how he was connected to those things is with information that the government has not released.
Mm-hmm.
When he made a claim for all of those attacks, he didn't claim that he commanded them. What he said was he was involved with them.
Michael Scheuer, I'm out of time. Thank you, sir. We'll talk again.
I look forward to it.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines, that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered, to my extreme surprise, that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Hillary Clinton, campaigning for tomorrow's Wisconsin primary, released what she calls an economic blueprint to help working Americans.
There's a big difference between speeches and solutions.
But Barack Obama told supporters in Ohio that the Clinton administration was part of the problem.
One thing I do have to say about Senator Clinton, she says, well, speeches don't put food on the table. Well, you know what? NAFTA didn't put food on the table here in Youngstown either.
Obama shrugs off charges that, in a speech Saturday night, he stole lines from Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick. Vaughn Verver, senior political editor at CBSNews.com, notes that the charges came from the Clinton campaign.
They're trying to poke holes in Obama's armor and show that, you know, boy, there's more to this person than just the glowing words that we hear. I'm not sure this one's going to stick.
Obama says he probably should have credited his friend Governor Patrick, but points out that he's written two books and most of his speeches. Roger Clemens told Congress that his friend Andy Pettit misremembered conversations about human growth hormone. Pettit held a news conference today at the New York Yankees training camp in Florida. WCBS Radio's Jared Max was there.
While Pettit said that he did not watch last week's congressional hearings, he did mention how uncomfortable it was to hear these secretly recorded conversations between two men he once had very close friendships with.
Wow, I just couldn't believe what was going on, you know, the extent, you know, taped phone calls and stuff like that. I mean, it was just strange to me more than anything, you know. More than anything, I was just sad, to tell you the truth.
Pettit said that Brian McNamee's testimony about him was true, that he did use human growth hormone. I asked the Yankees pitcher, what if he had to do it all over again?
If I could do it differently, obviously I wouldn't do it. Like I said, I felt like it was the right thing to do. I never thought of it as trying to give myself some sort of advantage, really. I was told that it could help repair tissue.
And now Andy Pettit learns about repairing his image. Jared Max, CBS News, Tampa.
Baseball Commissioner Bud Selig says he's still reviewing the cases detailed in the Mitchell report and hopes to complete that review by the end of spring training. Since 9/11, Amtrak has been luring passengers who want to avoid airport security hassles. But now, as CBS News correspondent John Harchie reports, the railroad is stepping up security.
Don't be surprised if you see canine dogs and armed agents in tactical gear on your next train ride.
We will be deploying mobile security teams in a pop-up mode.
Amtrak CEO Alex Kumon says this new security shouldn't really slow you down.
We will ask passengers on a random basis to step out and allow their luggage to be screened.
According to the railroad, these new anti-terror procedures should be minimally invasive. John Harchie, CBS News, Washington.
Winning Colors, the last filly to win the Kentucky Derby, has died. She was 23. The horse won the Derby in 1988 when she was 3 years old. The stock market was closed today for President's Day. This is CBS News.
Buying a good used car is all about having the right information and facts. And if it's a Honda certified used car, well, it just got a whole lot easier. Because now you can find out the history, mileage, and the price of the Honda you're looking for without leaving your home. Simply go online and search Google or Yahoo for Honda certified used cars. You'll see the current selection at the Honda dealers nearest you, along with the information you need to make the right choice. Honda certified used cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents A Word from Your Tires.
Sir, I think I speak for the four of us when I say that we do not support your current errand.
Well, we're going to the tire store. You guys are tires.
Head to the dealership.
Well, at the tire store, you can see your buddies.
We don't associate with off-brands. Your dealer has name brands. Michelin, Continental, Goodyear.
Enough.
I don't think they carry that one.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service. Come in, keep going.
Even though they spend millions, presidential campaigns try to control expenses, but the Barack Obama campaign may be setting new standards for frugality. Reporter Tracy Evans has the story of a phenomenon called Obama cycling.
It's phenomenal.
Houston's Obama 2008 volunteer coordinator says to Obama cycle is to forward your excess campaign materials to the next battleground state. Right now, Wanda Cunningham's office is on the receiving end.
It's normally maybe 10 or 15 bumper stickers, but it helps. They're also coming in to volunteer.
They say ObamaCycle.com is the grassroots operation for the grassroots operation. Tracy Evans, CBS News, Houston.
In Vermont, Obama's getting help from Ben Cohen and Jerry Greenfield, who founded Ben and Jerry's Ice Cream. They're lending the campaign two vehicles called Obamamobiles to tour the state and hand out samples of a special ice cream flavor called Cherries for Change. Vermont is one of four states holding primaries on March 4th. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
What if I told you buying a good used car just got a whole lot easier? And what if you could know the history, mileage, and price of that used car long before you even go to the dealership? Well, here's the answer. Simply go online and search Yahoo for Honda certified used cars. You'll see the current selection at the Honda dealers nearest you, along with the information you need to make an informed decision. Feels good to be in control, doesn't it? Okay, no more questions. Honda certified used cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
Welcome to Chapman's Cheeses.
Yes, what do you recommend today?
Well, there's a special on forgotten expenses and disorganized sales figures, but I highly recommend the lingering invoicing. Very well aged.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why millions of businesses rely on QuickBooks software to easily deal with routine chores, like tracking sales, organizing expenses, and creating invoices, so you can get back to what you do best.
This is a cheese shop, isn't it?
Yeah.
QuickBooks. Get back to business. Start today at QuickBooks.com.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
It's the President's holiday, and we're honoring the guy on the dollar bill and the guy on the $5 bill, right? And Katrina and Brian took the day off today. They left me and this computer here with some replays of recent programs you may have missed that we think are worth catching. Up in just a moment, Trevor Paglen returns. In addition to talking about rendition, the CIA practice of snatching people and sending them to exotic destinations where they may be tortured, Trevor Paglen will talk about his research into the emblems from the Pentagon's black world. He's got a book full of patches that are worn by people who operate in the black programs, the secret missile programs and aerial programs and things like that. We'll be back live with you tomorrow. Laura Flanders, the Air America radio host, has a new book out. She'll lead off our program. We're also scheduled to talk to Congresswoman Barbara Lee, a fiery progressive Democrat. We've scheduled a conversation with the ACLU on some civil liberties issues. And Jason Leopold will be with us as usual, investigative reporter on the web. And be sure to tune in on Wednesday during the first and second hours. We'll spend up to an hour with former California Speaker of the Assembly, former Mayor of San Francisco, the colorful, flashy, and never indicted Willie Brown. He's got a new book out called Basic Brown, and we're going to go rip-roaring through it. That's Wednesday here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And Trevor Paglen joins us. His new book is one of the most unusual books I've ever seen, and it's fascinating. It's called I Could Tell You, But Then You Would Have to Be Destroyed by Me. Now, Trevor, I checked. You're not armed today. Am I at any risk here by going over this information in this secret book?
Absolutely not. Thanks for having me on the show.
Welcome. Now, I did expect to see you come in a bomber jacket with a bunch of patches on it. And you are here in a very dignified sport coat with just a nice dress shirt underneath. Do you have a jacket that you collect patches and put them on?
I actually don't. I don't. You're referring to the fact that the book is a collection of patches. And while I am somewhat obsessed with patches, I don't wear them.
Mm-hmm. So do you have, like, on the weekends, you get into camo gear or... Anything like that?
Nothing like that at
really?
All. I have a bunch of patches up in my office at work, but but beyond that.
How did your fascination with this start?
Well, what the book is I think a lot of people are familiar with the fact that the Defense Department, the intelligence agencies, NSA, the National Reconnaissance Office, have what they call black projects. And these are projects whose existence is often unacknowledged. This could be anything from a secret airplane that's been developed to some kind of classified satellite to some kind of covert action. And although these programs are classified, one of the strange things that happens that oftentimes the units working on these projects will make patches for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so the book is a collection of patches from these kinds of programs. I got interested in it because I was working on, and still am working on, a larger project, kind of about military secrecy. And I started coming across these things in the houses, mostly, of people that I was interviewing. I would be interviewing somebody who worked in some kind of intelligence squadron many years ago and was getting older, retiring, and, you know, was more comfortable talking about what they'd done. And I would see that a lot of these kinds of guys would have this memorabilia
mm-hmm.
from their previous life in what they called the black world.
Isn't it some kind of a violation, though, of their clearances to, you know, maintain essentially a record or a memento of a top secret program? I thought it was all supposed to be, you know, in your mind, but never surfaces anywhere in any way, shape, or form.
It is a strange kind of contradiction that these sorts of things are made in the first place. And I understand that it's generally kind of understood that they're not to leave the unit area or they're only for people's private collections. But nevertheless, these artifacts, as it were, from these classified programs are out there. And they're not classified. These are not classified documents.
Right, but they do refer to, and we'll get into this in some detail, because some of the patches seem to depict, for example, the outline of some experimental aircraft, which are top secret.
Right. It's kind of a fascinating thing, which is that the patches themselves are unclassified. There's nothing secret per se in the patches, but one thing that starts to happen is that in the visual language of the patches and the icons and the symbols, they often refer to the, exactly as you said, the outlines of what the classified program might be. If you can decode what some of the symbols are, you can sometimes start to get an idea about what the purpose of the program was or the mission of a particular unit is.
Trevor Paglen with us. He collects these patches, and they have a lot of meaning, as you're about to hear. If you have a question or comment, or maybe you served. We have a lot of retired military people listening in Sacramento and in Monterey. And so if you served in one of these black units and you want to disguise your voice or whatever it takes, feel free to give us a call and participate this hour at 888-5-PETER-B. Now, Trevor Paglen, I'm an amateur at this. I know about Area 51. A guy named Jack Boulware, who used to be the editor of Frisco Magazine, brought me some exclusive recordings one time, and we played them on the radio as they went into the test site there and got arrested and thrown out. And it was fascinating, you know, interesting to get a little a snapshot of that. And many of these patches that I reviewed in your book do have icons that indicate that these units had some connection to Area 51.
Area 51 shows up a lot in there's a lot of references to it, and it's a real place. I mean, when we think of Area 51, the kind of myth of Area 51 is that it's a secret base in Nevada and that the government is hiding UFOs there or something. Well, it's a very real place. There is an air base at Groom Lake in Nevada. Now, the alien stories and that sort of thing, I don't personally really buy into, but they do test classified aircraft, cruise missiles, electronic warfare systems there.
So one actually could cite a UFO in the Dennis Kucinich definition, right, coming out of Groom Lake, the Area 51 base.
There's no question about
it. It would be an unidentified flying object, but not from Mars or presumably some other planet.
That's one of the funny things about Area 51 is, too, you know that there's a top-secret testing facility there. See strange things in the sky all the time around that base. It's a little bit of a jump of logic to infer that the government must therefore be testing
right.
UFOs.
Well, I think they're torturing E.T. there. That's my speculation. They make him listen to very loud recordings of the Bill O'Reilly show at all times. Now, I just pulled one up here. Special Projects, Flight Test Squadron. And over here on the left are five stars, and then in a slightly separate field, a sixth.
Mm-hmm.
And your interpretation is that that stands for 51.
Yeah, so what you're looking at is a patch for something called the Special Projects Flight Test Squadron.
Mm-hmm.
In the open literature, the only reference that you see to that is to a classified flight test squadron. You'll see that on some test pilots' biographies. You'll say that it'll say that they're part of a classified flight test squadron, which is this squadron. They operate out of Area 51. They were formed sometime in the late 1980s or early 1990s. It's hard to tell. And what we have in the book is their squadron patch. Their squadron patch is filled with symbols that refer to their secret work at Area 51. So you mentioned that there's a collection of five stars and one on the patch, which refers to 51. That particular icon you'll often see in conjunction with projects from Area 51. It's a classic symbol. You have a wizard who's holding a staff,
right,
and in one of his hands he's holding a sigma symbol, a Greek symbol. And what that symbol means is it refers to an unknown radar cross-section signature. In other words, it refers to stealth, mm-hmm, you know, engineering stealth projects.
All right. And then we have what appears to be a sword on the ground in front of the wizard, but the grip of the sword, the handle, is, according to your description, in the shape of an experimental aircraft.
Yeah, so below the wizard you have a radar, you have an airplane flying, which is a generic airplane, then you have a sword with a red handle, and the handle is unusual on that sword. And what the handle of that sword refers to is a program called Bird of Prey. And Bird of Prey was an experimental aircraft that Boeing built in the late 1990s. And the sword on the Special Projects Flight Test Squadron patch refers to that program. There's also a separate patch for Bird of Prey that also has that sword on it.
Yeah. We're going to take a break and peruse more of these patches. Trevor Paglen is our guest. His new book, with a patch on the cover, I Could Tell You, But Then You Would Have to Be Destroyed by Me. It's a fascinating look into the darkest reaches of our military-industrial complex. And like I said, if you served or if you have a question or comment, you're welcome to join us. Trevor's with us for the remainder of this hour. And lines are open for you at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. More in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's a President's Holiday replay on the Peter B. Collins Show. We left a computer in charge. Let's see what happens when I press this button.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with 2 hours of talk radio all about our daily challenges, our fears, changes, crisis, addictions. Over 1,700 of them, can you believe it? Using the 12 steps, the law of attraction, whatever it takes. Join me Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 with my guests and we'll find solutions together. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5 on KRXA, brought to you by Benji's Princess Monterey Whale Watching Trips. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey.
Good evening. Checking up on your KRXA traffic. Going to start in Scotts Valley. Got an accident involving a motorcycle. This is northbound 17 at Mount Hermon Road. A motorcycle involved in this accident. All activity, though, it is over to the right-hand shoulder. But, you know, it's kind of a narrow right-hand shoulder, so expect to be a bit sluggish as you pass by. So this is northbound 17 at Mount Hermon Road in Scotts Valley. San Juan Batista, San Juan Highway at Anzar Road. We've got a couple cows. Decided to take a walk in the roadway right there. And also watch out for a shopping cart. That's in Soledad. Northbound 101. Last spotted just as you're approaching Hudson Road, this is a shopping cart rolling around in the roadway. So again, that's northbound 101 just before Hudson Road in Soledad. Traffic brought to you by Office Depot. Still looking for an HD TV? Now through February 23rd, hurry into Office Depot for an Olivia 42-inch HD TV. Now only $799.99. Office Depot, taking care of business. I'm Diane Morgan, and that's a look at your traffic for KRXA.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest is Trevor Paglen, treasurer. Raise your right hand, please, Trevor. I solemnly swear not to disclose the secret location of the Peter B. Collins Studios.
I solemnly swear not to disclose the secret location of the Peter B. Collins Studios.
Or I'll have to give him a dozen of my secret patches.
Give him a dozen secret patches.
You got to check out this book. Trevor has done an excellent job, and kudos to the publisher, Melville House, because they really indulged you here. The photography is fabulous. The patch on the cover is a nice touch. I mean, this is an expensive book to produce, and they're selling it for only $23. I just think you did a great con job with the publisher.
Yeah, they were very indulgent towards me.
But it's rich, and it really does justice to these patches, which are often quite detailed and colorful. And what are the rituals? This is like the Friday casual. That's when you're allowed to bust out your private patches?
Well, so there's several kinds of patches in the book. One, a number of the patches are exactly that, or what are called Friday patches. And what Friday patches are is, let's say you're in some kind of military unit. The Air Force or Navy or whoever it is going to issue you a patch to, you know, for your unit.
Mm-hmm.
Usually those are really boring. People don't like them very much, and people like to make their own patches. And so the unit will typically get together and create their own patch, have it approved, and then they're typically able to wear those on Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are called Friday patches, and those are much more colorful.
I didn't see any real sexual material. I kind of expected that in the military, you'd have some large breasts and some long legs and some blondes, and this is actually kind of free of sexuality.
Well, one of the things that I tried to do with this book is to make the patches as contemporary as possible. So there are some historical patches, but the bulk of them are from programs that have been active quite recently. A lot of men in the military complain about the fact that they're not able to make unpolitically correct patches anymore. There are lots and lots of women who work on these kinds of programs these days.
Also, we're in post-tailhook.
Post-tailhook,
yes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We do have one patch in the book for something called Rodeo Gal, and we have a naked woman riding on top of a killer whale, and,
mm-hmm.
and that was from a classified cruise missile from the 1980s called TASM.
Mm-hmm.
And the story I was told was that the unit made these patches for themselves, and as soon as the commander saw them, he made them throw them all out because it wasn't politically correct. And the guy who gave me the patch said they mm-hmm. were all quite grumpy about that.
Oh, well, that's too bad. Let's go to Mark in Davis calling in, listening to 1240 Talk City. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Peter. And it's Trevor.
Trevor is right here, yeah.
Hi, Mark.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, it was classified as Black Ops. It was definitely top secret. I'm not going to be real specific, but does the phrase "all the way 20K" mean anything to you, Trevor?
Mark, just keep talking, will you please? Because our friends from Homeland Security have a beat on you, and
yeah.
Another 6 or 8 minutes, and they should be there. Go ahead.
So I'm a moving target right now.
All the way 20K. What does that mean?
Yeah, it was a naval project,
mm.
and it was something I worked on in the early 80s.
If I ask you questions, are you going to have to shoot me, Mark? I mean, we're talking about submersibles or deep dive vehicles?
Yeah, there's deep diving vessels, basically. And
right.
The funny thing was that, you know, we were told it was all what they call 10 and 10 information, which meant, you know, 10 years in prison and a $10,000 fine. But then they gave us these buttons and patches to wear at will.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if he was familiar with all the way 20K.
I don't know the specific patch, although I'd love to have a copy of it.
Yeah, Mark, do you have an extra for Trevor's collection?
I do have a button, but not the patch. It's through Mare Island. Maybe that could get my third on the board.
I don't know the patch. I mean, the program that immediately comes to mind was something codenamed Ivy Bells, and I'm not sure if the timing is quite right for you, but it was a program to latch on to Soviet communications cables on the bottom of the ocean. That's the first thing that comes to mind. But
Mark, if you were at Mare Island, do you know about the Soviet device? I don't think it was a submarine, but some sort of an unmanned submersible that made it in as far as Alcatraz in San Francisco Bay before they detected it?
I have heard the story. Yes, Peter B. And I've also heard about that. I think that communication cable thing might have been the unofficial use for these DSRVs. They call them recovery vessels.
But Mark, I got to go. Thanks a lot for your call today. More with Trevor Paglin in a minute. Show is brought to you in part by the Organic Wine Company. Log on to their website at ecowine.com or call them toll-free at 888-ECO-WINE, spelled ECOWINE.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion. From an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Slow down, you know you move too fast. This is Barbara Mossberg, inviting you to join me for our Poetry Slowdown at high noon, Sundays. My guests, February 17th, are Ruth Paget and the winner of the Youth Cowboy Poetry Festival, and actress-playwright Jill Jackson. We'll rebroadcast our first two launch shows, February 24th and March 2nd, and continue March 9th with guest Jeannie Adams on the Poetry of Trees. I can't wait to hear from you then.
I love coffee, I love tea. That's why Coffeetopia's the place for me. Coffee and tea, the honey and me. At Coffeetopia.
Coffeetopia at 1723 Mission Street and 3701 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz offers the finest in handcrafted espresso drinks, whether it's a traditional Italian-style cappuccino or a sweet caramel macchiato. We offer a range of full-leaf teas, a choice of chais, including our new Zawadi African chai, and organic coffees. Coffeetopia also carries local baked goods fresh daily, including French-style pastries. Or try a toasted bagel with one of our exclusive non-dairy bagel spreads, either garlic dill or smoked tofu. Coffeetopia, Santa Cruz's oldest internet cafe, offers both free wireless and computer terminals for those who need them. Coffeetopia. Remember, we're here to help.
Coffee, Coffeetopia.
every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
The boys are back in town, and some of them have funky patches on their shoulders. Can we inquire as to why they wear that patch and what it means? Well, I could tell you, but then you would have to be destroyed by me.
Guess who just got back today? That wild-eyed boy said it's been away. Haven't changed, had much to say. But man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. Told them you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy. The boys are back in town, the boys are back in town. I said, the boys are back in town.
Trevor Paglen has turned a hobby, maybe an obsession, into a fascinating book. I mentioned the title, I Could Tell You, But Then You Would Have to Be Destroyed by Me. Now, that's kind of a variation on I Could Tell You, But Then I'd Have to Kill You.
Yeah.
Is there a reason? Did somebody copyright the first line?
It's a really funny thing. I mean, there's a kind of cliche in this black world of these secret projects of people saying, I could tell you, but then I'd have to kill you. And mm-hmm. in fact, one of the patches in the book is a black patch. And all it says on the patch is, I could tell you, but then I'd have to kill you. There is the last patch in the book is a variation on that theme. It's a black patch with a red border around it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's written in Latin. It says, Si ego sertorium faciam mihi tu delendus eris.
I didn't get that in the eighth grade Latin I took.
Me neither, but I talked to some classicists about that phrase, and it turns out that it says, I could tell you, but then you would have to be destroyed by me. And what's interesting about it is that it's written in the passive voice like that. It turns out that in Latin, if you phrase that in the passive voice, you get a couple of references that you don't get in the active voice. The first reference you get is this word Eris. And Eris was the Greek goddess of chaos and strife. The second reference that you get is that you recall a very famous saying from the Roman Empire, which was a senator named Cato the Elder. And Cato the Elder would go around the Roman Senate saying, Carthago delenda est. Carthage must be destroyed. And Carthage, of course, was a city in North Africa, near present-day Libya. Cato was eventually able to get his wish. The Roman army went into Carthage, burned everything to the ground, enslaved all the women and children, killed all the men, and then the Roman Senate decreed that nobody would ever live there again. And so the legend holds that the Roman army went through the landscape pouring salt into the ground so that nothing would ever grow there again. And I that's a kind of an intense story that that pops out from that passive voice.
Do we have any evidence, active or passive, that these threats have actually been carried out, where somebody did get told and then was killed to prevent them from repeating the information?
I've never heard that story.
It's a threat that remains very effective, but unactivated in so many cases. 888-5-PETER-B, if you'd like to check in and talk about these patches, talk about the black ops of our military and also the intelligence communities. And we don't really know, but to the extent you've been able to find out, where is the line between the high-tech, super-secret development projects of the military and those of the intelligence community, which we know is much more than the CIA?
Right. Well, it depends on the different agencies. So in the book, what we're mostly looking at is Air Force projects and National Reconnaissance Office projects. The Air Force builds secret airplanes. They do that kind of thing. So there's all this secret kind of technology development going on. The National Reconnaissance Office is in charge of spy satellites, again, secret spacecraft. The kind of other part of this black world involves covert operations. These would be special forces teams through things like a Joint Special Operations Command. I focus less on that part of the black world in the book. It's much more about these kind of technology programs.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm looking at one here called Triangulum, and this one has limited information, which is what piques my interest. This is a patch that is in the form of part of the world. I'm on 63, Trevor. It looks like Africa and the Mediterranean and then part of Europe. And it shows this triangulum thing kind of coming out of, I don't know, France or Spain or somewhere in there. And I don't know anything about it. What's it mean?
It's a really unusual patch because the name Triangulum, we have this kind of triangular shape coming out of Western Europe, and we have on each corner of the triangle there are lights coming off of it.
Mm-hmm.
And in the kind of popular imagination, it would suggest some kind of black triangle type UFO or something like that. I don't think that's what it is, although that reference is definitely in the artwork. What I think it is part of a sensor system that's built on U-2 spy planes. It's a variation on a system called RS-6B Senior Spear. And apparently it's a series of antennas around the airplane to do various kinds of intelligence work. In the image, we have it coming out of Western Europe. Perhaps that means it's coming out of Germany, which is a traditional place that U-2s were flown out of. During the Cold War, of course, there's all kinds of intelligence missions being launched from Western Europe.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me just flip to another one. Sneaky Pete, world's oldest known flying pig. And Sneaky Pete is in the center of this with a lightning bolt, it's actually like a pyramid or a triangle behind him, 55. And let's see, there is a pig with the number 21 under it. There is a beer stein. There's a wolf. There's a guitar. There's a leaping dog. There is a dog at rest. What the hell does this mean?
This patch is really bizarre. There are a lot of symbols on here, and I really don't know what any of them mean. I know that the project is from a company called Scaled Composites. Scaled Composites might be familiar to people as the company that put the first private spaceship into space. They won the X Prize for doing that. So that's their kind of public face. Scaled Composites does a ton of classified military contracting. They're right next to Edwards Air Force Base in Southern California. And I'm told that this is a classified scaled composites project, but beyond that, I know very little about it.
All right. Next one I pulled out here is on 53. It's a Desert Prowler project. Again, we have five stars across the top, one across the bottom, suggesting Groom Lake, Area 51. And then Roman numerals, 9 and 11. Does that tell you anything?
9/11.
Oh, duh. You know, my Rudy Giuliani software has been dismantled. Duh. Very interesting. So what does that suggest to you, that they're responding to 9/11, that they were part of it?
Well, 9/11 is shows up on so many contemporary military symbols. Desert Prowler is... again, it's a project that I know very, very little about. Apparently, it's a project run by Lockheed's Skunk Works, which is their kind of traditional advanced development projects factory in Southern California. The patch says, alone and on the prowl, Desert Prowler. I know that it's an aircraft. It's an unmanned aircraft. It's flying right now. It's still classified. And there's several variations on this patch. I think at this point I have four or five patches from this project. And so whoever's running it is spending a lot of time making patches, although there's no information about it in the public record.
So how do you analyze this? Do you have like a computer database where you have all the ones that mention 9/11, all the ones that mention Area 51 or lightning bolts? How do you organize it in your own research?
I think it's just more intuitive, just spending years looking at these things, and you start to see themes, certain kinds of symbols show up over and over again, meaning the same things in different patches.
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly from talking to people is really how I started to learn how to decode them.
Yeah.
Although, as we saw from the scaled composites patch, you know, there's limits to what's possible to decode. A lot of them are inside jokes. So you can never decode them unless you're on the inside.
Now, before we went on the air, I asked, and you told me that you were a military brat, lived all over the place because your dad was in the service. Did you start collecting patches or developing a fascination at that time, or did this surface much later in your research for Torture Taxi, for example?
Yeah, it's actually much more recent. I mean, it's funny because when I was growing up, I thought this stuff was just stupid. I just thought it was silly. I wasn't at all interested in it, although I was surrounded by it all of the time. It was funny to kind of be researching some of these projects and start to take these things a lot more seriously. I've been seeing them all my life, though.
Interesting. Well, I want to return to the book in a moment, but while you're here, I must avail myself of your expertise in the rendition area. You and A.C. Thompson published a book 2.5 years ago now?
Yeah.
Right? Torture Taxi. And I want you to know how important this book has been, because you really helped connect some dots, if you will, but information that was, you know, stovepiped here and stovepiped there. And the plane spotters that you connected with to, for example, follow the progress of this one plane that at one point was branded with N313P. It was a 767? 737.
Yeah.
That has been used in these rendition flights. Mm-hmm. And I also need to tell you that I was asked to give a talk to the United Nations Council in Monterey a year ago December. And I took the book and used it liberally in my presentation. And one of the people who was there was a young activist with, now I can't remember, Amnesty International. And they prepared this, which is a mock airline ticket, one way, of course, on a rendition flight. And I thought that was a really clever way of explaining to average Americans what it means. And it goes into detail, origin anywhere, destination unclosed. The seat assignment is on the floor, hooded, of course, and shackled and drugged in so many cases. And I'd like to just know from your point of view, how much you think we know about what has really occurred and how much has still been kept from us. And I realize that that's a difficult thing to assess, but you're in a better position than I am. We know about Maher Arar. We know about al-Masri.
Right.
We know about the Egyptian sheikh who was grabbed off the streets of Milan. But, you know, have we just scratched the surface there? And you know, how much more will we find out in the next decade or so?
That's a fantastic question, and that's really the kind of $20,000 question in a lot of ways. I get the impression, and people tell me, that the rendition program, as it was written about in Torture Taxi, has changed dramatically. There are still a lot of people missing. I mean, there's 30-something documented people. There's a report out by Human Rights Watch that came out a couple of months ago talking about all the people that are still missing. So there are still guys who the U.S. has some kind of control over.
Mm-hmm.
We know that these black sites were never shut down. There's lots of rumors about a black site in Africa. But I think another part of the story is that a lot of this kind of work is being outsourced even more to countries that the U.S. collaborates with. And this is very, very difficult to figure out. But in terms of the spine of that program, it's very much, I mean, it is a kind of a structural part of what they call the war on terror.
Indeed it is. We're going to take a break and return with Trevor Paglen. His new book is about military patches, I Could Tell You, But Then You Would Have to Be Destroyed by Me, and co-author with A.C. Thompson of Torture Taxi. Both are published by Melville House, and I highly recommend them. We'll take a break and return. Your calls are welcome. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show. Don't call today. It's a replay on the Peter B. Collins Show. Back live tomorrow, Laura Flanders from Air America Radio, and scheduled to talk to Congresswoman Barbara Lee as well.
Good evening. This is your final check for KRXA traffic. Going to start with an update for an accident in Scotts Valley, northbound 17 at Mount Hermon Road. This is a motorcycle-involved accident. All activity over to the right-hand shoulder. This is just about final clearing stages. The involved parties have already been picked up, but just got that motorcycle still on the right-hand shoulder waiting for a tow truck. In San Juan Batista, San Juan Highway at Anzar Road, watch out for a couple cows. They've decided to take a stroll right down the middle of the roadway. So again, that San Juan Highway at Anzar Road in San Juan Batista, a couple cows to watch out for in the roadway. And Soledad, northbound 101 before Hudson Road, still got that shopping cart rolling around in the roadway. Again, it was last spotted northbound 101 just before Hudson Road, that shopping cart. Traffic, it is brought to you by Office Depot. Still looking for an HD TV. Now through February 23rd, hurry into Office Depot for an Oliva 42-inch HD TV. Now only $799.99. Office Depot, taking care of business. I'm Diane Morgan, and that's your KRXA traffic.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, brought to you by the Organic Wine Company. You love organic fruits and vegetables. Wash it down with organic wine. Log on to ecowine.com or call Veronique right now, toll free at 888-ECO-WINE. That's 888-ECO-WINE. We continue with Trevor Paglen. His new book about those interesting patches that military members in the Black Ops wear and sport and collect is called I Could Tell You, But Then You Would Have to Be Destroyed by Me. And we've also been talking about the book that he co-authored with A.C. Thompson a couple of years ago about so-called extraordinary rendition entitled Torture Taxi. During the break, Trevor, we were talking about the disclosures over the last few months that San Jose is the site of a company that is owned by Boeing. It's called Jepson, is that right, or Jeppesen?
Jepson, yeah.
And a guy who went to work there was shocked when, in a meeting, the boss just kind of blurted out, oh, yeah, you know, and then we'll tell you how we do the rendition flights, you know, the torture flights. And I guess he hightailed it out of there and didn't want to get involved with that kind of an operation. But it did pull back the curtain for a moment on how that works.
Well, there's a huge infrastructure to support these rendition flights that, like, there is for any kind of, I mean, the aviation industry is a very complicated industry. It requires a huge amount of planning. I mean, just even to put together a flight plan is a kind of a tremendous undertaking. So there's companies like Jepson. There's some other companies in the U.S. that do this work. That's what their job is. If you were going to fly somewhere in your private plane, you would contract with them. They would put together your flight plan for you, tell you how much fuel you need, but also book your hotels for you, even if you're a member of that kind of the executive class.
You a visa or not.
So one of the companies that was doing that logistics work for the CIA was this company, Jepson, in San Jose, which is a subsidiary of Boeing now.
Yeah, very interesting stuff. Ross in Sacramento, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Trevor Paglen.
Hi, Peter. Hi, Trevor. How are you today?
Hey, good? Ross.
I've got a couple questions, and I've heard of the HAARP program, the High Altitude, I'm not sure, the second A research project, something about ionizing radiation sent through microwave antennas up into the upper atmosphere. Does that sound familiar to you, or are you familiar with that program?
Yeah. I know very little about it, to tell you the truth, but I know it does exist. It's up in Alaska.
Yeah.
It looks on the surface like a research project. There are theories about that this project has something to do with weather control and that sort of thing. I don't tend to take stories like that very seriously, although I have to say that I have not looked closely at the HAARP program. So,
what do they say is the purpose of that program then?
I like I said before, I haven't looked into the HAARP materials very closely, but HAARP, actually, they do have their own website that you can go and take a look at.
Yeah. Now, in the same vein, atmospherically speaking, here, I think it was last year or the year before, Dennis Kucinich had put forward some legislation looking into the black budget and had mentioned chemtrails as one of the issues that he wanted to look at as far as what was being done in that regard. That language was removed from that legislation that he was forwarding. And I can tell you there's a lot of controversy over chemtrails. I see them here over the skies in Sacramento every winter and there are many, many people that the difference between a chemtrail and a contrail, for those people who aren't familiar, a contrail is formed from the water vapor that comes out of jet engines when the dew point is reached at high altitude and ice crystals are formed. And a contrail you can tell because it dissipates fairly rapidly because the exhaust, as you can imagine, is very hot. And so the ice crystals evaporate. And so it's a white trail behind jet engines. No other part of the aircraft produces the trail. It dissipates rather rapidly. A chemtrail, on the other hand, actually forms a white haze, and then you can see the upper atmospheric winds distribute that into a cirrus-like cloud, a very thin cloud. I see it happen every winter. There are thousands of people on the web who've seen this happen. I want to know your take on what it is. Do you think it's truly happening? It's been denied by the government as far as, you know, we're not using silver iodide to see the clouds.
I have seen some of the pictures that people point to, but Ross, I personally don't have any deeper knowledge. Trevor, do you?
Yes, my take on it is I kind of approach it from a different direction. I mean, if you were to have some kind of a covert program that involved, you know, what would be thousands and thousands of aircraft based on the numbers of sightings of these chemtrails, it would be very, very difficult to keep something on that scale a secret, particularly if you were deliberately trying to harm Americans. It's very, very hard for me to believe that a program of that scale could exist without very, very good evidence coming out to support it and to have the whole thing, the whole lid lifted off of it, basically.
Ross, so, thanks for your call. I appreciate it. Let's jump to Deborah in Carmel on KRXA. Go ahead, Deborah.
Hi there. Back to the torture taxi. Did you ever run into a company based out of Virginia called Dynamic Aviation?
A company in Virginia called Dynamic Aviation. That doesn't ring a bell, but do you know, is there something interesting about them?
Yeah. The Central Coast is being sprayed from the air for a supposed pesky moth that's non-native. And a check on the company's website, that the company that's been hired to do the flying, just is sort of an odd story. And so some of us have this theory that perhaps they're being kept occupied. Some of the pilots are being kept occupied and paid doing boring agricultural flying when they're not otherwise occupied doing.
All right, Deborah, we'll ask Trevor to look into it. I'm out of time for this segment. Trevor Paglen, thank you very much. I really enjoyed this visit.
Thanks for having me on the show.
You bet.
Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A day before the Wisconsin primary, Barack Obama wins the endorsement of Governor Jim Doyle.
The message he's putting out of really dealing with real problems, unifying the country, bringing real change, he has been able to stay above all of the usual sniping that goes back and forth. It's one of the reasons I think his candidacy is so important and so different from anything we've seen in a long time.
At stake tomorrow are 74 convention delegates. Hillary Clinton has produced what she calls an economic blueprint to help working people. And campaigning today, she talked about a new approach to foreign policy.
We need to have the rest of the world working with us, not against us. We need to find common ground again.
Republican John McCain was in Houston today accepting the endorsement of former President George H.W. Bush.
Few men
walking among us, have sacrificed so much in the cause of human freedom, and I'm happy to help this remarkable patriot carry our party's banner forward.
New York Yankees pitcher Andy Pettitte didn't attend last week's congressional hearing, but his name came up frequently as the panel tried to sort out the conflicting claims of Roger Clemens and trainer Brian McNamee. Today, Pettitte held a news conference and apologized for his use of human growth hormone.
I hope with the help from y'all that I can put all this behind me and continue to do what I've always tried to do, that is to help bring the New York Yankees another world championship.
Pettitte, heard courtesy of ESPN and the YES Network, insists he did not use HGH to gain a competitive advantage, only to speed the healing of his injuries so he could get back in the game.
A gecko, he can be trusted.
He sells car insurance, but the gecko, with paws like magnets, also serves as an inspiration to scientists. Now, Jeff Karp at Harvard Medical School says he and MIT colleague Robert Langer have developed a new kind of surgical bandage that clings to wet surfaces using the gecko principle.
It has these nanopillars on its surface, so millions and millions of pillars that are 100 times smaller than a human hair. And this increases the surface area of contact and gives it this ability to walk.
Karp says the material is elastic, biodegradable, and causes very little inflammation. In the year since 9/11, there's been very little visible increase in security by Amtrak. But, as CBS News correspondent Dan Revive reports, that is about to change.
Armed Amtrak police will show up unannounced at randomly selected stations